much better than this.
They look absolutely spectacular.
Right now is the most nerve-wracking that you have is sitting there waiting. As soon as they fire those engines, they pop them into gear, and they roll out of pit lane, it's time for business.
Live from Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth, Texas. This is the NTT IndyCar Series on the IndyCar Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark James. Welcome to IndyCar Radio's coverage of the Genesis 300. Overnight showers and storms lingered into the morning and washed out qualifying, limiting preparation to a single 90-minute practice session. Tony Gannon, keeping the Ganassi Racing 48 warm for Jimmy Johnson on ovals, was fastest, but because the grid is set by points tonight, he'll start 23rd. Your pole sitter is points leader Alex Palou. He's with RJ Query.
The number 10 NTT data machine of Alex Palou will begin this race where he ended in Barber up front. First career pole for you here in the NTT IndyCar Series. What's it going to be like with the field behind you, and how is that track for you?
That's going to be tough. My first time starting on pole on an oval, I don't think it's going to be easy, but it's going to be easier than starting for sure on the favorite sixth row. So, happy. We did that job at Barber. Also, beating St. Pete was not the best of our weekends, but we did it. We got this pole from the first race, so happy with that.
Best wishes for a safe race.
Yeah, thank you so much.
To Alex Palou.
The month of May is here, and Texas Motor Speedway provides the first two steps of a month-long journey heading to the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Here is the starting lineup for the Genesis 300.
Here's today's starting lineup, row 12.
Connor Daly, United States.
Tony Kanaan, Brazil.
Row 11.
Dalton Kellett, Canada.
Ryan Hunter-Reay, United States.
Row 10.
James Hinchcliffe, Canada.
Ed Jones, Dubai.
Row 9.
Felix Rosenquist, Sweden.
Ed Carpenter, United States of America.
Row 8.
Alexander Rossi, United States.
Scott McLaughlin, New Zealand.
Row 7.
Pietro Fittipaldi, Brazilian-American.
Graham Rahal, United States of America.
Row 6.
Takuma Sato, Japan.
Patricio Ward, Monterrey, Mexico.
Row 5.
Joseph Newgarden, United States.
Marcus Ericsson, Sweden.
Row 4.
Rinus Vicky, the Netherlands.
Jack Harvey, Lincoln, England.
Row 3.
Sébastien Bourdais, Le Mans, France.
Simon Fagenaud, France.
Row 2.
Colton Herta, United States of America.
Scott Dixon, New Zealand.
On the outside of row 1.
Will Power, Australia.
And starting on the pole.
Alex Palou, Spain.
Show. Engines have fired and cars will be pulling off pit road momentarily. Jump back onto pit road and check in with our pit reporter, see what stories they'll be following tonight. We've already heard from him, his conversations with Alex Palou. Jake, what are you going to be keeping an eye on pit road tonight?
Mark, I think it's going to be interesting to see exactly what Tony Kanaan decides to do, the 2004 winner at this track, and that Bryanton Heating and Cooling Honda that he drives, car number 48. He starts 23rd on entrance points, of course, but was fastest in the practice session. And what I was told is that at the beginning of the race, don't look for vintage TK to try immediately to go to an outside line and get aggressive. Going to try to perhaps be a little bit conservative early, knowing, Mark, that with a doubleheader, got to baby that car and get a feel for the race before he starts to make his move.
A little further up pit road, let's welcome in Michael Young.
Yeah, good evening, Mark Jane. 70-degree ambient and 77-degree track temperature, identical to what we had earlier today. I'll be keeping an eye on Scott Dixon, four-time winner here at Texas Motor Speedway. Pato Award will also be in my section. Expected a lot from that young man at race number one. Did not show that well at St. Petersburg, but always good on oval. Simon Pagenaud, Joseph Newgarden, also in my area, and young Colton Herta, along with Jack Harvey. These two young guns could make some big moves tonight as well. It's going to be a thriller tonight. 212 laps, Mark James, about to go racing here at Texas Motor Speedway.
1.5-mile oval. Nick Yeoman's going to help us call action tonight. Nick, always a crazy, crazy night in the Lone Star State of Texas at Texas Motor Speedway.
Yep, and those guys on pit lane talked about who they're watching. Mark, I'm going to be watching our pole sitter, Alex Palou. Not a lot of oval experience, and when we drop the green flag, he's going to have two of the best. Will Power, Scott Dixon, right on that rear wing. We expect some fireworks. We're going to have some fun tonight.
Davey Hamilton, our driver analyst. Three stops tonight is what we expect. Question is, how are the tires going to wear?
Well, I think that tires are going to be the thing that drivers want to change quickest. I mean, as soon as they come in and get off those wore-out Firestones and put some fresh ones on, I think it's going to gain them. Mark, I think it could be up to 3-4 mile an hour per lap, so it's going to be a big, big deal on tire strategy right now for tonight's race.
Scott Dixon, a winner here a year ago. Newgarden, Dixon's won two of the last three, Nick. Matter of fact, he's won a few times here. One of those tracks that he's pretty dominant at.
Yeah, he's got a chance tonight, Mark, to become the king of Texas Motor Speedway. He and Elio Castroneves, who is on site coaching up Jack Harvey for Meyer Shank Racing, both with four Texas wins. Dixon, watching in that practice session, Mark, looked really good. I think he's got a shot to get a fifth one as the field makes their way down the backstretch.
Interesting to see, Nick Yeoman, how well this rookie does with the likes of Will Power and Scott Dixon and Colton Herta wrapped around him, but he's got a ton of confidence for sure.
He certainly does. The field stacked up in turns 3 and 4. Alex Below, your pole sitter, Will Power to his outside. Scott Dixon and last week's winner, Colton Herta in row 2. Mark Janes, here they come out of turn number 4 at Texas.
The Texas two-step is underway at Texas Motor Speedway. Guys jockeying for position back at the field. Looks like a pretty clean start as Alex Below is going to see Scott Dixon tuck in behind him. Dixon grabs me too.
It's a nice jump for Scott Dixon as he gets to second. The front five gets single file back to Jack Harvey. Down the back straightaway, Mark, they're going 2-3 wide. Marcus Erickson gets shoved down low.
Simon Pagenaud among those that are bottling up cars behind him. Pagenaud currently running in the fifth position, but Harvey, Bourdais, VK, Erickson all bottled up behind him in turn number 3.
Yep, side by side across the start finish line. Graham Rahal and Sebastian Bourdais going side by side. Everybody looking for that inside line, Mark. Joseph Newgarden, a former Texas winner, he'll get around Pato Award as the leader set up for 3.
Takuma Sato among those on the move early. He's plus 3. TK is taking opportunities when they come to him. He is plus 4. Alexander Rossi has picked up a couple of positions. He's currently running 14.
Mark battle for the lead into turn number 1. Scott Dixon swings around the outside of his young teammate Alex Palou. New driver to P1. It's Scott Dixon down the backstretch.
Yeah, that wasn't much of a battle at all, but now Power has gained his momentum back, and he's dialing it in on Alex Palou. Colton Herta is stuck right into the tire tracks of Will Power now as they come back into the main straightaway.
Will Power about 3 car lengths behind second place running Alex Palou. Pretty good battle shaping up, Mark, for the fifth position as well. Jack Harvey in that pink and black car trying to hold off Simon Pagenaud with the Menards colors as they roar into turn 2.
VK Bourdais, all guys that are players in that, a rather erratic move by Will Power trying to break that air up a little bit, find some clean air, grab some momentum. He shot to the bottom of the racetrack off of turn number 2. Still has a firm grasp on that third position.
Your leader is Scott Dixon. Alex Palou runs second. Will Power is third. You mentioned VK and Bourdais battling closely. Bourdais picks up the seventh position, Mark, as he clears VK out of 2.
5 laps in, Davey Hamilton, a very clean start, and some of the movers include Sato, Rossi, and TK at the rear of the field.
Yeah, well, right now we see TK, yeah, right. He's going to just take it easy at the start. He actually went by 4 guys right off, got up a little bit high, lost one of those back, but you're right, Sato's coming up as well. Field right now looks, we're all tight, guys. There's not a lot of passing. We've seen Pato Award lose some ground on the start of the race, I think just being cautious. Couple guys trying that outside lane but just not enough grip right there to hang on and complete those passes. But as this race goes, more rubber's going to get down on this racetrack, guys, and I think they're going to be forced to go up. But right now, man, it's just a big string of cars.
Pretty good lesson for Palou right now to be stuck in the tire tracks of his teammate and the veteran Scott Dixon. Davey, has he learned the fast way around this racetrack?
Well, I'll tell you what's happened with Palou right now is he has a bit of confidence right now. Starting on the pole, I could tell he was not excited about that. Being on the pole, wasn't, you know, for his first time on an oval, didn't have the confidence. But look at this, guys. I'm going to let my teammate, Scott Dixon, who knows this place, has won here many times, get in front of me and check it out. He's staying right with Dixon the whole way. Has a nice little gap between him and Power. Confidence is building in this kid.
It's staying within 4/10, Nick Yeoman. I mean, he gets a really nice run off of turn number 4, but Dixon's able to hold him off, and it's about a 4-car length advantage and to stay that way for a while.
Dixon in the blue and orange PNC Bank colors as they run at turn number 2, the advantage for Dixon over Palou. Call it 6 car lengths, Mark, so they set up for turn number 3. Palou with a nice, healthy lead, though, about a full 10 car lengths over third place running Will Power.
A couple of battles we've watched on the racetrack haven't materialized just yet. It's Sebastian Bourdais and Rinus VK. That's the battle for the 7th position. Bourdais has it. VK wants it. They're trying to keep pace with Pagano, who's sixth, and Harvey, who's running fifth in front of them.
And Mark Willpower, or excuse me, Alex Pillow, just took a look to the outside of our race leader, Scott Dixon, getting into turn number one. Wasn't close enough, but you're right. The field getting a little strung out, but a lot of battles separated by just a couple car lengths.
10 laps complete here at Texas Motor Speedway. Scott Dixon, Alex Pillow, Willpower, Colton Herta, Harvey, Pagano, Bourdais, VK, Sato, and Erickson in the top 10 here in Texas. IndyCar Radio would like to thank these stations for carrying tonight's Genesis 300, KXEG in Phoenix, Arizona, WBIW in Bedford, Indiana, and KBDT in Dallas, Texas. Mark James, Dick Gilman, Davey Hamilton, Michael Young, Jake Query, as we are 15 laps in now. Dixon, Pillow continue to set the pace. Power, Herta, Harvey looks solid in the top five. Pagano, Bourdais, VK, Sato, Erickson trying to keep pace. A couple of laps ago, we saw Alexander Rossi lose the 13th position to Pato O'Ward.
Yeah, Pato O'Ward looked really strong, Mark, in the practice session, the 90-minute practice session that we had a few hours ago, and it was a nice move out of turn number two. Rossi's Napa car washed up the racetrack just a little bit, and that orange and black McLaren car for Pato O'Ward strongly getting around him to move up a spot.
TK was able to pick up three spots on the start, and has been stuck back in the 20th position. And it's interesting to notice, you look back through the field, all through this mile-and-a-half oval, Nick Yeoman, there's just the spacing is about dead even from first all the way back to 24th.
Yep, everyone trying to set guys up as the leaders make their way out of turn number four. That lead for Dixon still about three or four car lengths. And you're right, Mark, right now, settling in, 17 laps in, everybody just kind of feeling this one out.
Davey, it's not out of the question that one of the things that might come into play if we get into a very long green flag run here, traffic may come into play because these leaders, what, lap 25, maybe 30, start catching the rear of the field?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And here's a question. When the leaders do catch those back markers, are they going to be able to continue to gain on them? Are they going to be able to get beside them and pass them, or is it just going to be, you know, steady behind them and just getting their dirty air and stay that five car lengths behind them? You are yet to sit there exactly about a half a lap apart from each other right now. So for the next 10 laps or so, I expect a little bit of lap traffic playing a part in this game.
Alex Pillow led the first two laps. Scott Dixon has led the last 17. An update on 20th place running Tony Kanaan with Jake Query.
Kanaan, as we know, TK likes to go fast, but right now that car is stuck in sixth gear, literally. He had radioed in, said it's a gearbox issue. They thought they could reset it while he was out there. It didn't work, so they told Tony Kanaan, just go ahead, stay where you are for right now. When you come in for the pit stop, we'll be able to reset it then. But as it stands right now, out on the racetrack, that car is not going to be in anything but sixth for Tony Kanaan.
Time for Michael Young to join us now with the HPD Engineering Update.
The engineering update, where we're here with Rebecca Johnson, the HPD Director of Production. And Rebecca, it has been a great start to this 2021 campaign. Not to look too forward down this end of the season, but Honda has performed exceptionally well this year.
Yeah, thank you. I believe we have, but we have a long way to go yet, and so we just look forward to seeing what happens.
How about this first race of the season on an oval?
Very excited to get started on the ovals and see what that brings for us. Looking forward to this weekend and a doubleheader as well. Hoping the weather holds out for us. Obviously, we've had a change of schedule already with that, but here's hoping it sticks to it for us this weekend.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
That's your HPD engineering update, and that was Rebecca Johnson, the HPD Director of Production.
Think, Davey Hamilton, that this Manufacturers Championship is going to have some swings throughout the course of the season, but Honda continues to flex a little muscle because right now they have four of the top five spots here in Texas.
Yeah, they sure do. Power's the only one in the middle, kind of messing that thing up for them. They're right. Honda has really stepped their game up this year, and it seems like they've had the engine to beat no matter what kind of racetrack we're on. Here we are for the first time on these high bank mile and a half. And, man, not only – well, you know Ganassi's strong here. We know Dixon's strong here, but it seems like a lot of the Hondas have out. Colton Herta, he looks strong. But impressive Harvey, guys. Harvey's been doing a great job this year. I think he's came out of the box strong. I think that team finally has that stability and that knowledge of what it takes to be – running up front every time. And I think Jack's done a lot of homework, man. I think this guy's for real, and he can win races from here on out, I think.
Davey, we're 25 laps in now. At what point do we start maybe seeing Tire Dick come into play?
Well, I think the tire guys right now, if you ask them, they're going to want tires right now. But they need to wait until at least lap 55 for their fuel to manage out for them. So I'd say 55. The window is 55 to 65. We'll see if anybody needs to chime in just a little bit early. We've seen that, guys, where they fall off the pace so bad because of the tire. Their car's not handling good, and they're sitting around. They may come in early, but the guys are going to win this race. They're going to wait till at least lap 55.
Went from 0.4 to 0.6. Now 0.7. The lead for Scott Dixon. Let's get an update on Alex Palou on pit road from Michael Young.
Now, Barry Wanzer, who is calling the shots tonight for Alex Palou, said, just ride around with Scott. We're content where we are. Take care of those tires. Those are the leaders going by right now, Mark James. And as quickly as we thought they were going to catch the back of the field, the rear end of the field is just now crossing the start-finish line. So the leaders just about three-quarters of the way down that back straightaway, so not catching them as quickly as we thought they may.
29 laps to go. Next, 29 laps are gone next time by with 184 to go. Dixon, Palou, Powell, Herta and Harvey, the top five. Pagano, Bourdais, VK, Sato, and Erickson, the top 10. 11th, Newgarden. 12th, Rahal. 13th, O'Ward. 14th, Rossi. 16th, Scott McLaughlin. 16th, Ed Carpenter. 17th, Pietro Fittipaldi. 18th, Ryan Hunter-Reay. 19th, Felix Rosenquist. 20th, Tony Anand. 21st is Ed Jones. 22nd, James Hinchcliffe. 23rd is Connor Daly. 24th is Dalton Kellett. Alex Palou led the first two laps. Scott Dixon has led all 28 lap sets here at the Genesis 300. 35 laps in has been all Scott Dixon. He's about to lead lap number 33 of the 35 laps we have completed here at Texas Motor Speedway for the Genesis 300. Tony Gannon with some gearbox issues. Jake Query, how about an update?
Mark, Tony Kanaan, as we talked about, was the fastest car in practice today, but he started this race in the 23rd position, made up four spots on the opening lap, but then we talked about the fact he was having issues with the gearbox that stuck him in sixth gear. Good news for him, he can get out of that if need be now, but now he can't get it back above fifth. So what they told him was the tires actually look good right now. He's lost two spots back, so he finds himself now in the 21st position, but they told him, let's not get out of sequence and try to bring you in early. Just do what you can right now between fourth and fifth, and we'll try to take care of it and reset everything once you do come in on sequence for those fresh Firestone Firehawks and fuel.
I guess the good news is Davey Hamilton in that scenario is that team's confident enough in a veteran driver to be able to handle that scenario to be able to hold on to the race car and not go laps down by coming in under green.
Yeah, that's right, guys, and they could, when they get in the pits and whatever, he may just be able to cycle the ignition and reset the electronics on the gearbox side of the car and be good again. But don't ruin your race, because if you come in now and the yellow wasn't to come out before that first screen, you'd be in, or the first pit stop, you'd be in big trouble. So he's just hanging out there. He's in good position, guys. He's hanging in there. He's keeping his lap times up and still has fourth and fifth gears that he can work with right now.
So by not being able to go back into sixth gear, explain to the novice exactly how exactly he is hampered. What is that preventing him from doing?
Well, ironically, right now, at this point in the race, guys, probably nothing, because the pace is slowed down enough to where he probably doesn't need sixth gear. But with the fresh new tires at the start of these stints, the speeds have gained about 5 miles an hour. He'll need that sixth gear or hit the rev limiter at the end of these straightaways. But at the pace he's at right now, guys, it's probably not hurting him whatsoever right now. But like I say, once he gets the new tires on, it could hamper him pretty good at the end of the straightaways getting into that rev limiter.
Battle for 12 comes off of turn number 4. It's tightening up a little bit. That's Graham Rahal and Pato O'Ward, Nick Yeoman. They start to set up for turn number 1.
Yeah, O'Ward has a fast race car. Made that move around Alexander Rossi about 10 to 15 laps ago. Mark to move into the 13th position. Down the back stretch, Rahal's advantage about 3 car lengths over Pato O'Ward. O'Ward closes it down to 2 into turn 3.
Yeah, they climb up the banking now at about the halfway point of the turn, and upon exit, they get close to that outside retaining wall, and Pato O'Ward is stuck right into the tire tracks of Graham Rahal. Again, this is the B battle for the 12th position as it roars off at turn number one. Just in front of them, Marcus Ericsson and Joseph Newgarden is a pretty decent battle. Ericsson is the guy with the 10th spot. Newgarden trying to get into the top 10. Back to that battle. We check in on Pottawa Ward. Looks like he's lost about a half a car length or so, but as we say that, he comes to the start-finish line and really closes up within about three car lengths.
Yeah, during practice, Pottawa Ward through the trioval was actually clipping the grass with the left side Firestone, so he's trying to trim this racetrack as short as he can. Takes a really shallow line exiting turn two. Gets a nice run. Again, Mark, he'll close within two car lengths of Graham Rahal as they roar through turn three.
Yeah, it just looks like he's having to lift a little bit as he approaches the corner, and that allows Rahal to stay in the throttle just a little bit longer and gain some measure of momentum. They look like they were going to threaten Joseph Newgarden for a bit, but now Joseph's opened that up to about a second and a half lead in front of them as he runs in the 11th position.
Yep, again, out of turn number two, Pottawa Ward with a strong charge, takes a look to the inside, breaks that air just a little bit. Graham, though, a really strong run mark through turns three and four. He'll gap him out to about four or five car lengths.
So, Davey, they're running very similar lines around the racetrack, and they're running very similar speeds. Why can't O'Ward seem to pull up on Graham Rahal?
Well, you know what? He's doing what he needs to, and that is be quicker come on the exit of the corner. Unfortunately, just gets to the back of Graham on corner entry, and they got to get single file before they go through there. There's no grip on the outside right now, guys. So he gains up on it, but then he loses the ground a little bit going into the corner. But he really has a good car as far as momentum coming off those corners. As Nick just says, he is definitely making this a short track. I think he clipped the grass right there, this little trioval down the front straightaway. That will get you in trouble if you do get there too far.
And Nick Yeoman, 24th place running Dalton Kellett, has some company, and that's our leader, Scott Dixon.
Yeah, things getting kind of interesting at the back of the pack, Mark. Tony Kanaan just made a pass around Felix Rosenquist. Rosenquist struggling right now with Ed Jones, and you mentioned it. Scott Dixon just took a look to the inside. He'll put Dalton Kellett, the first driver, one lap down into turn three.
And about 10 laps away, we think, from the pit window opening up. Scott Dixon, a dominant performance so far. He's the leader. Below, Power, Herta, Harvey, the top five. Pagano, Bourdais, VK, Sato, Ericsson, the top 10 at Texas Motor Speedway. Okay, well, we thought the pit window would open around lap 55. We are at lap 51 with Scott Dixon, your leader in the Genesis 300 at Texas Motor Speedway. Michael Young, we have our first visitor to pit road.
That visitor is Graham Rahal. Quick stop for that team. Graham has not really complained much about that car. That's a nice stop for those guys. Graham Rahal down and away. A couple of other drivers here on pit lane. Alex Pillow complaining of understeer at the exit of turn number one in the midway port of turn number two. Another driver complaining about his car, Colton Herta. He said the group is going away all across the board. Brian Herta, his, of course, father and his race strategist, telling him, work those tools. He goes, I really have nothing else to work with because of those tires. So we'll see what happens with Colton Herta, but we expect the rest of the field coming into the next 5 to 10.
I'll tell you, Ryan Hunter-Reay has a handful of race car, Nick Yeoman, and he is stacking up cars behind him, namely James Hinchcliffe, Felix Rosenquist, Connor Daly, and all of those guys are going a lap down to the leader, Scott Dixon.
Yeah, it's all happening right in front of our leaders. They roared at turn number one. Scott Dixon and Alex Pillow are now nose to tail, but they are stuck in lap traffic. This has allowed Will Power to creep into the mix, but Mark, they're all trying to get around Ryan Hunter-Reay, who now looks like he's going to pull below the apron and go to pit lane as Scott Dixon slips around James Hinchcliffe and puts the mayor lap down.
Yeah, Connor Daly among those going to pit road, and now Alex Pillow comes off of turn number four. They slip into number one, and it looks like Pillow is going to work his way around James Hinchcliffe. Let's go to pit road, Jake Query.
Connor Daly has come onto pit road. He will pit right in front of Tony Kanaan, but Kanaan has yet to come in. That Gallagher machine now sits and waits for Firestone Firehawks. Clean stop so far for Connor Daly. Fuel, and he is down and away. Meanwhile, Tony Kanaan stays out. He is in the pit stall right behind Connor Daly, but we have a caution on the track in turn number two. Mark, I believe it's Sebastian Bourdais.
That's right, Jake. Sebastian Bourdais lost the race car into turn number two and smacked the wall, and he has come to a rest on the course. Pretty hard hit, Nick Gilman.
Yeah, he was. It was a big pack of like three or four cars making their way through turn number two. We see Sebastian moving around in that cockpit, but it is heavy rear damage, rear wing rip off of that car. There's right front suspension damage. Sebastian pops the steering wheel off, shaking his head in dismay. An odd place for a caution, though, Mark, here right in the middle of a pit sequence.
Updates from pit road when we come back to Texas. Davey Hamilton looking at the replay as we speak. Sebastian Bourdais had some help.
Yeah, sure did, guys. So you got to remember, Joseph Newgarden just came in and pitted and had those fresh Firestone Firehawks. And when he came out, so much faster than the guys in the wore-out tires. They're just trying to hang on, and he gained so much ground on Bourdais coming in turn two. Just barely got into the back of that car, but that's all it takes when you're on the wore-out tires and turn them around. And he hit hard, guys. He hit that thing directly on the back of the car in the gearbox. He is okay, but that car's done, and it was a big hit.
And the rear of that car off of that impact, Nick Yeoman, stepped out a bit on Joseph Newgarden. And if that right rear had to bump that wall, I think he might have spun all the way around.
Yeah, that was a remarkable catch by Joseph at the exit of the corner, because it was tracking up the racetrack out of control. And you're right. He caught it, saved it. That's why he's a champion. But very, very lucky that that wasn't worse, Mark, because Joseph wasn't the only one. There was a pack of four cars in that accident. The fact that it was only Bourdais that ends up with major damage is pretty impressive.
Just prior to that, Nick Yeoman, some pit activity on pit road. Some of those guys, the timing couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, I think all those guys that decided to pit early are in trouble now because they're trapped a lap or two down. So guys like Graham Rahal and mostly front runners, guys like Simon Pagenaud and Will Power, who is running third, they're all now a lap down. They're going to get the wave around, Mark, when everybody pits here, but any track position like Will Power, he'll probably restart in the 15th position, and after he was running third, that's a big, big hit.
As a benefit to those who waited,
yeah.
One of those that benefits, suddenly, Tony Kanaan finds himself into the top 10. Davey, he's in the top 10 now with a very fast race car, and he's going to be able to pit under caution.
Yeah, Max Jones, his the guy calling the race for him down there, made another good call. Stay out as long as you can, and let's just ride it out. We have a gearbox issue, but let's ride it out. We'll try to fix it when you come in. He did it right now, as you said. He'll come in and make his first pit stop in that 10th position.
And how about Pietro Fittipaldi? Yeah. He's in the top 10 in that 51 car for Dale's Coyne.
And the guy right ahead of him, Scott McLaughlin.
Yeah.
I mean, these are guys with very little oval experience. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, Marcus. Those two and all these guys, including Kanaan, Ed Jones, may not have the best race cars. Kanaan's pretty fast. But for those guys struggling, they're going to be mid-pack cars now. So this was a big break with the timing of this caution.
Now, McLaughlin probably comes into this race, Davey, with the most confidence he's had in the previous couple of races, because he tested here, tested at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So conventional wisdom tells you, I know race conditions are different, but at least knowing your marks on the racetrack, having turned laps at the racetrack, turning laps at high speed on an oval like in Indianapolis, I think all in all, Scott felt pretty confident, was pretty anxious to get here to Texas.
Yeah, without a doubt, and looking really good with good calls, staying out, finding himself in that eighth position. But it's always good as a rookie to come in somewhere that you feel comfortable with, even though I'm sure veterans aren't comfortable with this high-speed mile-and-a-half oval. It's not that easy to get comfortable with. At least come in here with a little knowledge and know what it takes. You know, another guy that really helped, Rossi. Rossi's been way off the pace today, just kind of hanging out back there. Rob Edwards kept him out there as well. He finds himself in that seventh position, so that was a good move not to pit on Rossi.
So 61 laps complete. This is our first caution. We've now run five laps under caution. The car's running behind the pace lap. And got to give Pelot a lot of credit, Nick Yeoman. I mean, he tucked in behind Scott Dixon after a couple of laps, and he stayed right within 4 to 6 tenths of it.
And it was one thing to follow Scott Dixon around when they were in clean air, but where I think it might have been the most beneficial, Mark, is right in those last five or six laps before the yellow, where things got a little hairy right in front of our leaders in lap traffic. For Alex Pelot, did a nice job picking his way through the lap traffic. So, he's doing a really good job, and he's got one heck of a teammate to learn from in Chase.
Didn't see a lot of fluid laid down on the racetrack as a result of that incident. And we did see some debris at the point of impact, and fortunately for Sebastian Bourdais, a lot of speed got scrubbed off after the impact pretty quickly, Nick Yeoman. So it really wasn't a lengthy cleanup for the AMR IndyCar safety team.
And here's another thing to keep in mind, Mark. We're racing tomorrow, so that work for AJ Foyt Racing to get that 14 car ready for Sebastian Bourdais tomorrow night. I would guess it begins right now because those guys are going to have a late night working.
Michael Young on pit road.
Yeah, Brian Herta going to one of the IndyCar officials saying, when are you going to open pit lane? We're about out of fuel. Well, obviously they can come in if they need fuel, but they'll lose all that track position. So Brian pleading, trying to get an answer on how quickly they will get pit lane open so his driver, Colton Herta, can come in a pit.
Yeah, Davey, we've run four laps under caution now with that pit road opening up. That seems a bit curious at best.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there unless they're worried about exit of turn two on the pit lane, getting if it's still jammed up down there from the Bourdais accident, cleaning some stuff up. But that pit should open, and they should, if that's the case, just let them out into turn one. Once they get off of pit lane, just go right up on the track at turn one. But, yeah, this is they definitely need to get these guys into pit because it's a huge disadvantage to run out of fuel, obviously, under yellow.
We're also hearing, Davey, that they're reordering cars. And if you think about it, we had cars coming onto pit road, off the pit road upon impact, and then we had some guys making an attempt to get down to the inside of the racetrack to the entrance to pit road, so they're probably working on the order as well. Sebastian Bourdais brings out the caution here in Texas. Jake Query's with him.
Sebastian Bourdais just worked his way out here of the Wise Health System Infield Care Center. First off, the good news is it looks like you're okay, right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just really, really disappointed because we struggle like hell in testing, and this afternoon really wasn't any better, and we just kind of threw everything we had at it, and it seemed like it was working. We had a pretty decent car, and that Rocket Chevrolet number 14 was actually in the mix. We passed. I think that was the first time I passed, and I was pretty happy. And I don't know, I mean, clearly guys were starting to run out of tires really bad. We were too, but not as bad as some, and I don't know why Colton just decided to go so slow out of two, and we just ended up on top of each other, but I was slowing down with him and just got straight run into and took us out. So I don't know who that was behind us, but that's a real shame because I think we had something to play for today.
Appreciate the time, and best of luck in turning it around for tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Sebastian Bourdais. Michael Young.
Scott Dixon, your leader, coming in for his first stop of the night. This will easily make it a three-stopper for all the teams. I'm on the end of pit out. Scott Dixon already in and out. Boy, what a quick stop for Scott Dixon. Now Colton Herta hits his marks. Alex Palou already down and away. No changes thus far for Colton Herta. We'll see if they make an adjustment to that front wing. No, they won't. Colton Herta will be third out. Then it's Jack Harvey, and Scott McLaughlin will be fourth.
Yeah, we look a little further back. We see Tony Kanaan, Pietro Fittipaldi, Ed Jones, Felix Rosenquist. All of those guys off pit road. Davey, there's no tougher job than the job of traffic cop at each of these pit boxes on pit road.
Oh, man, did you see some of that action down there? That was crazy. I mean, some close calls, cars coming in, going out, about getting into each other. And these guys, these pit guys, man, they're true athletes, that's for sure. And almost getting run over, by the way. I mean, they gotta have eyes all sides of their head to watch these cars go in and out. But smooth, smooth round of pit stops for a crowded pit, for sure.
Reset the field and have green flag racing when we come back to the Genesis 300. 67 laps complete. Scott Dixon, your leader. Alex Palou is second. Colton Herta is third. Jack Harvey is fourth. Jilson Newgarden is fifth. Alexander Rossi is sixth. Scott McLaughlin seventh. Rinus VK is eighth. Tony Kanaan is ninth. Pietro Fittipaldi is 10th, Jones 11th, Rosenquist 12th, Hinch is 13th, 14th Power, 15th Dalton Kellett, 16th Marcus Erickson, 17th Pato Award, 18th Simon Pagenaud, 19th Takuma Sato, 20th Graham Rahal. Ed Carpenter is 21st, a lap down, also a lap down in 22nd is Ryan Hunter-Reay, Connor Daly a lap down in 23rd, 24th and out of the race is Sebastian Bourdais. Tony Kanaan now plus 14, Rossi is plus 10, McLaughlin plus 8 along with Jones, Hinch is plus 7. Dixon has led 65 laps. Alex Palou has led the other two. We just finished our first caution of the race, the only caution so far, for 12 laps.
Can't wait to see, Mark, what this does for Tony Kanaan. I mean, he has a fast race car. We know that. Obviously, Jake Query has kind of been tuned in with the drama of being stuck in sixth gear. But now, all of a sudden, TK, if they got those gremlins worked out, Mark, he's back in the game in ninth with a fast race car. Should be interesting to see. You got
got young Rinus VK right ahead of him, a rookie in Scott McLaughlin. I imagine they may be taking the school here on this restart, where we know with the way this thing is shaping up, these restarts, you're going to have to get everything you can.
Dalton Kellett, Takuma Sato, a couple of guys that waited and waited and waited and waited. Graham Rahal, another one, and they waited at, let's see, Hinch, Rahal, Sato, Kellett, all waiting till lap 68 to go to pit road.
Yeah, those are guys that pitted once, got trapped a lap down, and I think their thought process now, Mark, is because we ran so many laps under yellow, better come in, top yep. off, and get back on the strategy with everybody else. The guys that didn't will power Marcus Erickson, Pato Award, Simon Pagenaud. When those next round of pit stops happen, they're going to be the first ones that come in.
Davey, no question, going to be a long night for A.J. Foyt Racing and the crew of Sebastian Bourdais. They've got a pretty banked-up race car that they've got to put together. The good news is we don't race until late in the afternoon tomorrow, so they do have some time, but it's still going to be a long night for them.
It's going to be a long night, guys. I see the car being backed into the garages right now, all the crew heading that way, and they're going to evaluate it very quickly to see what all they need to fix, but it's going to be a long night for that A.J. Foyt group.
And let's go to pit road and get an update from Michael Young.
Yeah, just touching on Joseph Newgarden, that incident. He will have to go back of the pack. He'll have to follow the 29. Tim Cindric just got on the radio. You have to go to the back. Joseph didn't really argue with it, so you will see him restart in the 20th position.
Interesting to note, Davey, that Newgarden's the one that goes to the rear of the field, and Bourdais pointed to Colton Herta for slowing up off of turn number two.
Yeah, I don't know about that call. I don't think that was a great call, but that's just me from here and knowing what it's like in that driver's seat. I when guys slow down in front of you and you're as fast as you are and these speeds you gain so quickly on guys, and Colton must have had an issue, but when you're behind, you don't know that's happening, and everybody slowed down as fast as they could, and it just barely touched him. So I don't feel that's a fair call personally, but that's that's just me as a race driver knowing kind of how these cars work.
Well, so Joseph Newgarden slips all the way back to the 19th position, Nick Yeoman. And so some of the momentum he had started to glean back after the disaster at Barber maybe is starting to trickle away just a little bit. And we go back to green flag racing. And Scott Dixon gets a great start, but Alex Palou, not so much.
Yeah, Palou lost about six car lengths to Scott Dixon. And Colton Herta was the one on the charge. Further back, Mark, Tony Kanaan gets around Rinus VK. Move him up a spot. Scott Dixon, though, roars down the back straightaway. The battle, though, is for second.
Alexander Rossi getting a little racy. He wanted to sneak up on Jack Harvey, but Jack Harvey was not having any of it. But as Nick said, best battle on the racetrack now. The battle for second as Alex Palou is trying to run away and hide from Colton Herta. He stretched it out to a couple of car lengths now into turn number one.
Into turn one and two. Scott Dixon's advantage, 8 or 9 car lengths. Award gets back on his horse and starts to pull a bit of a gap on Colton Herta. Call it 3 or 4 car lengths. Further back, though, Mark, they're still slugging it out throughout the field.
Yep, a couple of different drivers going at it, including Pietro Fittipaldi. He's mixed up in a pack with Ed Jones. It's Jones, Fittipaldi, and Felix Rosenquist. That's the battle for the ninth position. And Ed Jones is going to be able to step away from that one a little bit. Will Power try to catch back up for that pack? Will currently running in the 12th position. Meanwhile, back up front already, a 9/10 of a second lead for Scott Dixon.
Yeah, it was a perfect restart for Scott Dixon as he saw that green flag. Of course, as the leader, he can control the start, but Mark, he left his teammate Alex Palou really sleeping at the line. Palou, though, kind of gathered it back up through turns 2 and 3, or through down the back straightaway. Mark, he's gotten to about 10 car lengths.
Will Power had him stacked up behind him off of turn number 4. Power currently running in a 13th position. Pato Award, Simon Pagenaud, Graham Rahal all tried to work their way around him, but couldn't quite do it yet. As a matter of fact, Award almost got him into turn number 3.
Power moved down all the way down to the inside, down the back straightaway to kind of hold that line. Pato Award had a strong charge down the back straightaway, couldn't make it work, and now, Mark, he'll have to gather it back up. Pato Award and Simon Pagenaud both chasing after Will Power. That's the battle for 13.
We'll keep an eye on Joseph Newgarden after this restart. That penalty forced him to the rear of the field, and Joseph's not been able to gain any measure of momentum. to try to get a spot or two back. Meanwhile, Scott McLaughlin working on Alexander Rossi. Rossi trying to catch up to Jack Harvey. That battle works his way down the back straightaway.
McLaughlin doing a great job running in that sixth position, trying to catch Alexander Rossi, about a four-car length disadvantage. And then McLaughlin's got one of the best in the business, Tony Kanaan, through turns three and four. Kanaan about five-car lengths back of the rookie out of turn four.
To show you how lady luck can smile upon you, Davey Hamilton, we looked at guys like Kanaan and VK and even Scott McLaughlin and Alexander Rossi. We thought, how would those guys get into contention? And all it was a for some, an ill-timed yellow, but for guys like them, the yellow couldn't have come at a better time.
That's exactly right. And how about if I told you right now the highest running Penske car would be the rookie McLaughlin running in that fifth position right now. I'm sorry, in that sixth position right now. And the rest of the Penske guys are in the back kind of struggling. Simon Pagenaud, he's in power 14th, Pagenaud 15th. Not what we normally see, guys. Obviously, Newgarden went back to that 18th spot after the penalty. But great run by McLaughlin right now. And he's all over Rossi. I mean, Rossi, Harvey looks like he might be holding that lineup just a little bit. Meanwhile, first and second place, they flat out check out on Colton Herta, and then from Colton back, every about 20 cars lined up nose to tail.
I tell you, I continue to be impressed by Pietro Fittipaldi, Davey. I mean, this kid's got a handful of starts in the NTT IndyCar Series. He comes to a place like this, which is really totally out of his comfort zone. First time he's been back in an IndyCar in quite a while in a competitive situation, and yet he's got that 51 machine running right around the 10th position tonight.
How impressive is that? You're right. That's a great run for him, and he's doing it with confidence. You watch him go around here, and it looks like he's been in many, many races right now as Erickson gets a little run on him coming off of turn two, trying to get underneath him down that back straightaway. We'll see if he can make the pass. No, Fittipaldi still keeps it going down to turn three.
So, 81 laps complete. The last year, IndyCar made a pledge to support diversity and inclusivity throughout the paddock at each of our events to get an update on some of those initiatives. So let's check in now with Katie Kyle. She's with a member of the IndyCar community who was on track with diversity.
Rolando Coronado moved to the United States in 1992 and now works as the chief mechanic at Andretti Autosport on James Hinchcliffe's car. What brought you to the United States so long ago?
So originally when I came in 92, I came with a student visa. The idea was to study the language, to learn to speak English a little better.
What got you into racing?
I did a little bit of racing in Colombia. I drove a little bit. It's kind of a street cars with, you know, white tires. It wasn't anything fancy, but I liked driving more than anything. And then at some point you realize you're not really good at driving. So the next best thing is kind of like be a mechanic.
You've worked with some pretty big name drivers. I mean, obviously you're with James Hinchcliffe right now, but what's it like working with very talented drivers?
At the beginning, obviously, it's pretty intimidating, right? Dario was the first driver that I worked with in IndyCar, and at the beginning, I was very, very sort of scared to even talk to him because sort of start watching races, and like you said, these were big names, and it's been a lot of fun.
Now that IndyCar has announced our push for diversity and we're making a big effort to see more diversity within the paddock more than ever, why do you think that's important?
Everybody should have the same opportunities. Now, whether they use them or not, I think it's up to each individual person. Since I came here, I had had opportunity of outcome. Everything was there for me to take. If I wanted to take it and use it, it was up to me. So I think it's a big step into providing those opportunities for people that might not be aware that the opportunities were there.
I'm Katie Kyle. That's On Track with diversity for the NTT IndyCar Series.
Thanks, Katie. You can hear more of that interview on our website. Go to IndyCar.com/radio and click on podcast. An update on fifth place running Alexander Rossi from Jake Query on pit road.
Mark, you had mentioned that Rossi started in the 16th position and was the beneficiary of a very late pit stop. He now finds himself running in fifth. The story is simply this, and that is that he took those Firestone Firehawks down about as far as they could possibly go. That left side was really down nearly to where the cords were being represented. That was after a 64-lap stint. Now, Rossi says now the car is really settling in for him. He likes the way it feels while he's running in fifth, but the challenge is going to be whether or not they try to go the exact same distance on another second stint here, I would anticipate that he will not go the full 64. Michael Young?
Yeah, further up pit lane, Colton Herta just reported that he has a vibration going down the back straightaway on the front left. His obviously father and, of course, race strategist Brian Herta didn't seem that concerned about it. They just said copy, and there haven't been any other talk of it right now, but he just reported that. So we'll keep an eye on Colton Herta and see if that front left will become an issue as this stint rolls on.
Coming up on 90 laps complete, Scott Dixon, your leader. Alex Below is second. Colton Herta is third. Jack Harvey is fourth. Alexander Rossi is fifth. Scott McLaughlin is sixth. Tony Gannon, 7th, 8th, Rita's VK, 9th, Ed Jones, 10th, Felix Rosenquist, 11th, Pietro Fittipaldi, 12th is Marcus Erickson, Pato Award, 13th, Will Power, 14th, Simon Pagino is 15th, Graham Rahal is 16th, Takuma Sato, 17th, Joseph Newgarden is 18th, 19th, James Hinchcliffe, 20th, Dalton Kellett, Ed Carpenter a lap down in 21st, 22nd a lap down, Ryan Hunter-Reay, also a lap down in 23rd is Connor Daly, Sebastian Bourdais, 24th, out of the race, he caused the one caution which lasted 15 laps. Scott Dixon has led 89 laps. Alex Below has led 2. Tony Gannon since the start, plus 16. Rossi, plus 11. Jones, plus 10. McLaughlin, plus 9. And Felix Rosenquist, plus 8. Again, 90 laps complete. Scott Dixon, your leader of the Genesis 300. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is IndyCar Radio. Up on 100 laps, it's the Scott Dixon Show. So far, you're listening to the NDT IndyCar Series on these great stations like WCUP in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, WTAR in Hampton, Virginia, and WDNG in beautiful Anniston, Alabama. Nick Yeoman, some tense moments here at the mile-and-a-half Texas Motor Speedway.
11th place running Rinus VK has his hands full, Mark. He was running 8th about 10 laps ago, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if there's something wrong with that car. Handling has gone away. Tires don't feel right, but Ed Jones got around him. Felix Rosenquist made a pass, and when Rosenquist got around him, Pietro Fittipaldi and Marcus Ericsson quickly pounced as well. So, Michael, the driver from the Netherlands, running in that 12th position, but seems to be struggling a bit.
Interestingly enough, Nick, he has not said word one about the car. I asked the team. He said he really hasn't said anything. But, boy, his spotter has been working hard on that radio, coaching that driver as the field just swallows him up. We'll try to figure out what's going on. But as of right now, they said he hasn't said a word.
So we'll keep an eye on that situation. And, boy, a very narrow miss just past the start-finish line. I mean, there wasn't much room between the two of them at all.
Yeah, that was Felix Rosenquist. That was the pass for the ninth position. Rosenquist got a good run down the front straightaway, Mark. Went the long way around the outside. And, of course, everybody wants to fight to get down to that bottom line right along the white line as quick as possible. And Rosenquist maybe left a couple inches between his rear tires and the front of that Ed Carpenter Racing Chevrolet for Rinus VK.
About 35 laps on these tires, Davey. Is there anything these teams could have done in the last stop to make that grip stick around a little longer in this segment of the race?
Yeah, you know, Mark, it's not the stick that they can help, but it's the balance of that car. So if you have an understeer and that front end's not pushing, or it's pushing, just not turning like you need it to, they can try to fix that, or vice versa. The back stepping out, they could do some adjustments to fix those things. Won't help the grip, but it definitely helps the balance of the car, which in a sense could get your lap times up. Now, pit window opens, guys, in about 10 laps, so 9, 10 laps. So expect to see these guys coming in early in the pit window. But remember what happened, Mark. Last time, the guys that came in early got stuck with a yellow.
So in terms of in-car adjustments in that cockpit, what do they have at their disposal, the driver? What can they do to that car? What can they change in that cockpit on the fly that could hopefully help them until they get to pit road?
Yeah, one thing that's really important that they have on ovals only is a weight jacker, Mark, and that basically is a device that goes between your shock and your spring, and you can adjust that, and you put more weight in that right front tire or less, which does cross weight, which will help the situation that you have, whether it's going to help that understeer or oversteer, whichever way you need to go with it. Plus, you have anti-roll bars, which does this, Mark. It either softens the front of the car or stiffens the front of the car. Same with the rear, so you can change your balance that way. they're big tools. They do a bit, they do a lot, but if you're maxed out on those, the crew needs to help you on the pit stops.
No question that in this stint anyway, whatever adjustments, maybe they didn't make any at all, but Scott Dixon is becoming increasingly comfortable in that race car. He's bumped that lead up. It never got over 0.7 of a second during that first window, and it stayed right around the second since, but Alex Palou is keeping him at least within striking distance. Michael Young, we completed 105 laps.
Yeah, for Renus VK, it's no front grip whatsoever. They're just keeping him out there to get through this stint. They'll try to make an adjustment, but he is really doing a heck of a job keeping control of that car, especially when he's getting swaddled up by all these faster machines.
And Nick Yeoman, we've reached the halfway mark of this race.
And that's big for, I think, a lot of folks because we were worried about the weather, Mark,
yeah.
And it was very important, I think, for us to get to halfway so that no matter what happens from here on out, we've got an official race. Of course, we got a concern about going racing again tomorrow.
Yeah.
So good news for these teams. This one is official. Rain staying away for right now, Mark, but of course everyone keeping their eye on Scott Dixon.
Well, you know, you take a look at those clouds off of the distance and nothing really around the racetrack looks all that threatening. As far as everything that I have seen, the forecast for tomorrow looks picture perfect. I think as the weekend progressed, the forecast improved. Let's go to pit road, check in with Jay Query.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that, Mark, I think the concern was precipitation and accumulation of that later this evening. And, of course, everything started to shift to the point where it looked like it was going to be later. But it looks like by tomorrow, about daybreak, everything is going to be dried out. Then the question simply becomes the weepers. But the good news is Mother Nature has cooperated. We've been chomping at the bit for a doubleheader here at Texas to start out the month of May, and it looks like Mother Nature agreed.
Coming up on lap 109, Dixon, Palou, Herta, Harvey, Rossi, the top five, McLaughlin, Kanaan, Jones, Rosenquist, and Fittipaldi, the top 10 to the Genesis 300. I think that pit window's popping open. Lap 113, Scott Dixon has caught the rear of the field again. That's Dalton Kellett currently running in the 19th position. Last car for now on the lead lap. Let's go to pit road, check in with Michael Young.
Yeah, Pato O'Ward just came in for his third stop of the night. They took a half a turn out of that front wing. Good stop all in all, though. 7 seconds for Pato O'Ward as now Simon Pagenaud coming in for his second stop of the night. The crew is awaiting Simon Pagenaud as he's just now starting to come down pit late. Oh, he must have pissed pit late. Yeah, he did not come in. Okay, let's go down to Jake Query.
Kuma Sato has brought his MyJack machine in. He sits and waits. Now, all of a sudden, there was a slight hiccup. Not a bad stop for the Kuma Sato. Four tires and fuel as that 30 machine heads back out.
Scott Dixon has indeed worked his way around Dalton Kellett. And now, Michael Young, if you're patient, you'll finally see that Menards car of Simon Pagenaud work his way onto pit road. And Joseph Newgarden is headed that way. Joseph had worked his way up to 16th.
Yeah, Joseph Newgarden hits his marks right behind him, his teammate Simon Pagenaud. No changes thus far as they go to the front wing. They will take a half a turn out. Joseph Newgarden already down and away. So too, Simon Pagenaud. No changes for him.
Yeah, a lot of activity on pit road now as we see that fuel window opening. And, Davey, it's that time. We got to about lap 113, lap 114, and suddenly pit road got to be a busy place.
Yeah, and it's going to get busier as we go. There are five cars pitted. We see VK coming in for his pit stop, probably put some nose wing in that car, try to get a little bit of front grip to get the speed up in his car so he doesn't lose so many spots again. But I'll tell you what, Colton Hurt has caught up to the leaders, Dixon and Palou, and with Jack Harvey right behind him. So these top 10 guys got are nose to tail, and that guy in that 10th spot still, Fittipaldi, how about that? Great run by him today.
Yeah, it has been a great one run by him as well. And so, Davey, we just saw VK get up to speed, try to work his way around James Hinchcliffe, and I think you saw the difference between the guy with fresh tires and the guy with tires that are starting to go away. Davey, we'll get your thoughts on that in just a moment. Let's go to pit road, Jay Query.
One quick turn in the front wing for Felix Rosenquist. He had surrendered the ninth position to come in. He took four tires and fuel. Good stop for Felix Rosenquist back down and away. Michael?
Yeah, Graham Rahal will take a half turn to that front wing. Good stop for him. And boy, straight out, a great stop for Graham Rahal. Back to Jay Query.
Now Marcus Erickson, his team, the Husky Chocolate crew, is over the wall. They now await as he brings in the car, surrendering the 11th position. Marcus Erickson sits and waits. All of the fuel goes in. The Firestone Firehawks, no changes to that car. Marcus Erickson down and away.
Yeah, pretty smooth pit stop for Marcus Ericsson for sure. So, Davey, what's the difference? I mean, how precarious is it for these drivers with these fresh tires coming up on these drivers with the grips going away who are at the end of their stint?
As we can see, and we see in that first stint, guys, so much faster with these new tires. You catch these guys so quickly, and you got to be on top of it. Or we'll see what happened in the past where guys check up, and then Newgarden was the one that actually got in the back of Bourdais to turn him around. And we see it right now. Cars getting mixed up all over the place. Another thing, guys, you got to remember, the cars coming off a pit lane, going down that back straightaway, they do not get up speed when they enter turn three. So if they come out in the middle of a pack, it stacks everybody out. But right now, guys, you could tell, for example, VK with the new tires rolling around the outside of these slower cars.
48 of Tony Kanaan comes to pit road, and Nick Yeoman, they didn't go anywhere near the adjustments on the front wing of that race car, just tires and fuel for TK.
No, TK was in the middle of a hornet's nest. Meanwhile, right behind him, Jake Query, here comes Scott McLaughlin.
This is a new experience, stopping for pit stops on an oval for Scott McLaughlin. They take two turns on the front wing. Scott McLaughlin takes the fuel, and that three machine's back out.
Really cool looking paint scheme, Nick, with that PPG car, that splash of rainbow color down each side.
Yeah, about every color you can think of on that race car. Good looking car, and as we mentioned, Scott's given that car a good run through the pit sequence. Mark, he's been running in the top 10.
Yeah, we see Jack Harvey with some company. Jack was about to get passed by Pato Award, it looks like Jack Harvey is going to come onto pit road, and I think that's Alexander Rossi and that Napa machine that is headed that way with it. Meanwhile, close quarters racing for Colton Herta. We'll keep an eye on that as Ray Hall works his way around into pit road. Jake Query.
Napa Auto Nation team now awaits Alexander Rossi, that 27 car running in the fifth position. We had told you that they didn't necessarily want to go an entire 64 laps again on tires. They went 60. Now they go ahead, change that set of tires. They did not make a front wing adjustment. Rossi had said the car was coming to him. He stalls just a bit of a hiccup. Alexander Rossi after the fuel's down and back out.
Michael Young.
Scott Dixon, they're not making any changes. They will tear a tear off away. Wow, a little problem with just having, I couldn't even tell, down a little bit further. Looks like they had an issue with the rear end of that car. Dixon is down on the way. Colton Herta expected in next time by.
Looks like the guy on that right rear for Rossi had a bit of an issue too, Nick Yeoman.
And these are the opportunities for a guy like Alex Palou, if he can get on and off pit lane quickly, Mark, with that bit of a hiccup for Scott Dixon's crew, could get him out front. Meanwhile, though, Palou has yet to pull down off the racetrack. Easton is in turns three and four now, staying out on the racetrack. Meanwhile, Michael, Colton Herta makes his way to pit lane.
Yeah, the stop has begun for Colton Herta. Crew goes to work for him. The car a lot better on that stint than it was on the first. No changes. Great stop. Colton Herta already down and away. Jake Query.
Alex Palou right now is running where he started this race up front. The NTT data machine, the team is over the wall as they now await the young Spaniard in his second year, of course, one in Barber Motorsports Park, and it talked about the fact that he was unfamiliar with what it was going to be like to start up front on an oval, but now he brings the car in on lap 127 from the point. Does Alex Palou, the team is ready for him. The four Firestone Firehawks are in waiting. That familiar paint scheme that is blue and white, Palou brings it in. Now they work around here. All four tires go on. We'll see if they make any adjustments to the front of the car. No issues yet on the stop. No changes at all. Alex Palou is down in the back out.
We saw Will Power come on and off pit road. That was a routine stop for Will Power, and it looks like for now, Nick Yeoman, the one that we are waiting for is Pietro Fittipaldi, who last pitted on lap 64. He currently runs P2.
And Mark, we just saw Scott Dixon blow around the outside of Alex Palou, so that was the difference. Waiting three or four laps, Scott Dixon gets on and off, and he's going to have a monster gap on Palou when this thing cycles through.
And we will reset the full field for you when we come back. 128 laps complete here with the Genesis 300. We have cycled through now. We are at lap 133, and Scott Dixon now has a five-second lead after the round of pit stops. Felix Rosenquist is second. McLaughlin is third. Alex Palou is fourth. Pato Award is fifth. Marcus Ericsson is sixth. Colton Herta is seventh. Jack Harvey is eighth. Alexander Rossi, ninth. Graham Rahal is 10th. Joseph Newgarden back up to 11th. Rinus VK is 12th. Sato is 13th. Kanaan is 14th. 15th, Ed Jones. 16th, Simon Pagenaud. 17th, Pietro Fittipaldi. 18th, Will Power. A lap down in 19th, James Hinchcliffe. Same for 20th place running Ed Carver. 21st place running Dalton Kellett. 22nd place running Ryan Hunter-Reay. Connor Daly in 23rd is two laps down. Sebastian Bourdais is out of the race. He will finish 24th. Rosenquist is plus 16 on the afternoon and evening. McLaughlin's plus 12. Kanaan plus 9. Rossi plus 7. Pato Award is plus 6. Dixon has led twice for 129 laps. Pelot has led twice for 6 laps. There had been one caution for 15 laps after the incident involving Sebastian Bourdais, which resulted in a penalty for Joseph Newgarden, who punted him off at turn number 2. Newgarden had to go to the end of the line, if you will, but again has worked his way back up to 11th. It's okay, so Davey, you put pen to paper. Now, who's in really good shape now? One more stop, we think, around 165, 170. Who's in really good shape besides Scott Dixon?
Yeah, obviously Dixon, but how about this guy's Rosenquist finds himself in that second position after struggling, majority of the night. And McLaughlin, the same thing. I mean, they had really, really good pit stops. I think Palou, I think his deal was he didn't get in and out on a pit lane like Scott Dixon did. He came in like a second behind, but pulled up about 5 behind. So Palou's going to have to, he's going to have to learn how to get in and out of pit lane on these ovals a little bit quicker.
Pato Award, as we mentioned, fifth place running. And some of the cars, I tell you, Nick Yeoman, we're watching things get a little testy as we came off of the pit sequence for sure. And Rinus VK with the handling issues appeared for a while to be getting better, but suddenly he has some company in that 12th position. It's 13th place running Takuma Sato and 14th place running Tony Kanaan.
Yeah, Sato just trying any way to get around that driver from the Netherlands as they set up for turns 3 and 4. It's about a 4-car length advantage for VK, and then another 3 back to Tony Kanaan out of turn 4.
Davey, even after Rinus VK has gone on the pit road for those fresh treads, that car just doesn't seem to want to turn for him.
He doesn't have the speed that he had earlier either, guys. He's off the pace a good half a second from what he was running earlier in the night. So you're exactly right. Just, I don't know if it's understeer that's getting him or maybe they went too far on the adjustment. But once he slid up one time and got that outside groove, lost momentum, about 4 guys went by him right before that last pit stop. And right now he's stacked up about 10 guys behind him.
Alex Palou has cleared the car of Connor Daly, but it's not such an easy go for Pato Award and Marcus Ericsson.
Yeah, that was huge because they're all struggling to get around Connor Daly. And now down the front stretch, Mark, Pato Award and Marcus Ericsson both clear Connor Daly to put him a lap down. Things tightening up there. That right there was the battle for 4th, 5th, and 6th. All it took was for Palou to get around him quickly, and he puts about 10 to 15 car lengths between himself and the 5th place running Pato Award.
1.3 second the disparity between Scott Dixon and Felix Rosenquist. And Dixon, with the possible exception of the start, at the start after 2 laps and then on that restart, Davey Hamilton, Scott Dixon clearly has a bad fast race car here at Texas Motor Speedway.
Yeah, he sure does. Doesn't show a big lead right now, but man, he is controlling this race. And you know, when you lead 137 laps, guys, only 6 laps of this race he has not led, he is in charge, and we've seen him do this before. And all he has to do, guys, just stay clean and get through one more pit stop, and looks like he has this going his way.
And Nick Yeoman, if I'm not mistaken, as they set up for turns 3 and 4, it looks like the next person in his crosshairs is the car of James Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, and he's been working on Hinchcliffe as they set up now for turn 1. That's how quickly they get around this place. But I think, Mark, just being patient, he likes where he's at right now. Rosenquist is closed to within 6 car lengths. In fact, Mark, we may have a bit of a battle down the back straightaway. Rosenquist about 4 or 5 car lengths behind his former teammate, Scott Dixon.
Yeah, it was about 7-tenths of a second about a lap and a half ago. And Scott Dixon, again, bottled up behind James Hinchcliffe. Hinch is not really blocking him. He just can't seem to clear him. They start to set up for turn number 1, and Felix Rosenquist has it down to 3-tenths of a second.
Yeah, Dixon had to jump way out of the throttle at the entrance of turn number 1. He'll gather it back up as that car washed up just a bit. Rosenquist sits about 4 car lengths. Mark, you know Dixon wants to get around Hinchcliffe, just trying to find a spot away around. Through turn 4, Dixon about 2 car lengths are behind Hinchcliffe, trying to put him a lap down.
Davey, it looks like when he starts to pull up on Hinch, the handling of the front end of that car starts to go away a little bit, and he's got to lift out of it.
That's exactly what's happened. He just loses that total downforce, can't get around him. But if you notice, guys, Rosenquist caught right up to Dixon, made up a lot of time. But now that he's there, he's still that half a second behind. Same thing's happened to him. He gets too close to Dixon, car loses some grip, and they just can't use that second groove. Not one car, guys, not one, has really attempted that second groove. And when you're not going to go up there, it's not going to get rubber down and get the track sticky. So it's a single filer at this point.
147 laps complete. Scott Dixon, the leader, by 0.4 seconds over Felix Rosenquist. McLaughlin, Pelot, Award, the top five. Erickson, Herta, Harvey, Rossi, and Rahal, the top 10. Dominant performance a week ago on the streets of St. Petersburg. Colton Herta leading 97 of 100 laps. Let's learn a little more about Colton Herta. Let's take a hot lap with Jake Query.
Colton Herta is with our hot lap here. He is with Gainbridge Andretti Autosport. Rapid fire questions will begin with this. I want to know what you've done most recently. Mow the lawn, dishes, laundry.
Definitely laundry.
Do you enjoy doing laundry?
I don't think anybody enjoys doing laundry.
Do you have to wash your own fire suits?
No.
That's
no,
good.
I put it away on the truck and it gets washed and I show up to the track. I feel bad for the person that does though.
Let's go back to like seventh grade Colton Herta. Your favorite subject in school was what?
History. I always loved understanding history and, you know, kind of like crazy stories that were real.
Did that motivate you in any way to visit historical places or anything like that?
No, but, you know, whenever I travel, I love to try and go see new places. And, you know, we get to go to some cool cities with IndyCar and a lot of historical sites within that.
What's your favorite city you visited?
Not for the historical features, but I love to go to Watkins Glen. And I love to go, there's such beautiful landscape around there and so many great hiking trails. College campus of Syracuse is really beautiful, and I've gone up there a few times for dinner. So that's probably my favorite place.
Lastly, if you could do a jam session with any musician, who do you pick?
That's very tough. I feel like somebody super famous would be really cool, but I really like this guy named Ty Siegel, and he is a he kind of plays everything. He has a few bands, so really like his music. It'd be really cool to play with him.
Colton Herta, your hot lap is complete.
IndyCar Series, the Genesis 300 on stations all across this grand nation of ours, including WNOG Naples, Florida, KGYM in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and WROI in Rochester, Indiana. Our driver analyst is Davey Hamilton, Nick Yeoman in the booth with yours truly, Mark James, Michael Young, and Jake Query manning pit road, and we are watching Scott Dixon having to deal with a little bit of lap traffic, including not just Scott Dixon, but Rosenquist McLaughlin having some issues as well.
Yeah, moments ago, Scott Dixon made a big pass to get around James Hinchcliffe. That gives a little bit of a buffer between second place running Felix Rosenquist. The problem is, though, Mark, as you pointed out, Scott Dixon's not able to check out because he's got three more lap cars right in front of him, including Will Power. He's going to take a look to the inside, though. Power's going to slam the door shut.
And you don't hear this said very often, Nick Yeoman, but Will Power is close to going a lap down.
Yeah, not been a good night for Team Penske. Power runs in the 17th position. Pagano is 15th. Newgarden is 11th. And Mark up front, Felix Rosenquist, long way around James Hinchcliffe. In fact, Hinchcliffe is sideways up the racetrack, and he makes heavy contact with the left side of that race car. The Genesis car has crashed in turn number two. It's James Hinchcliffe bringing out a yellow flag.
And there is a lot of fluid spewing out of the side of that race car. And we look at the high side of the racetrack and heavy damage on that left side. And Hinch is moving around into the cockpit. But, Nick, that was a pretty significant hit to the left side of that race car. And as we look at our monitor, we can see, boy, if you get much out of the racing groove at all, there are a ton of marbles up on that racetrack on the high side.
Yeah, Hinchcliffe was running in the 18th position. One lap down, he had just gotten lapped by Scott Dixon, and then second place Felix Rosenquist made a daring move around the outside mark to clear James Hinchcliffe, and then it looked like Hinchcliffe's car just chased up the racetrack and just slapped the wall with a really heavy force. Hinchcliffe moving around in that cockpit. The AMR IndyCar safety team is there, and boy, just a rough night for the mayor of Hinchtown.
Davey Hamilton, you're taking a look at the replay.
what happened there was just as Nick said, he was holding guys up, unfortunately. And when Rosenquist got by him, made the challenging move on that side. But once he caught down from him, it just took the air off of Hinch's car. Obviously, the balance was good. He went up in that second groove. And, man, it's sad to say, but just going in that second groove, it's like it must be like an ice skating rink because that car just flat took off. And there's no grip up there whatsoever, guys. And he got... car slid up there, and once you're there, man, you're just long for the ride.
Pretty hard hit to the left rear corner of that race car. As a matter of fact, the impact is such is to where fluid started coming out of the car almost right away, but we are happy to report that once the IndyCar AMR safety crew arrived on the scene, Hinch started nodding to the affirmative to their questions. He was able to climb out of the cockpit of that race car, and he walked to the safety vehicle, Nick Yeoman, under his own power.
Yeah, and I think he just, it almost looked like he might have missed his angle into the corner. I think he was so worried about seeing Felix Rosenquist to his outside that maybe just didn't get the right entry into the corner, because as soon as they got to the apex, that car just went up the racetrack as if it was just out of control. So, as you mentioned, big, big hit, a ton of damage to that Andretti Autosport Honda, but most importantly, James Hinchcliffe is okay.
Just the second caution of the race, Davey Hamilton. Interesting to note where it comes. We're at lap 162 right now.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a couple more laps before these guys are able to head on to pit road where they open the pits, and this is right in that final fuel window.
It sure is, Mark. They have three laps before it really opens, but here's how they can save fuel. It's yellow, guys. It's going to take a while to clean up this accident, and so they're going to be, whenever they pit, they're going to be fine. You know, it's a different angle, that replay of Hinch, and it's exactly what happened. That air just got taken away from his race car. Didn't have the grip. He's winning that second groove, guys. The second that car, I don't care who's driving at that point, you are along for the ride. There's absolutely no grip once you get in that second groove, and you're just along for the ride.
Now, the timing of this, Davey, I mean, I think when you put pen to paper and you looked at how you mapped this race out, I think if you're a race strategist, all in all, you're probably pretty pleased that this caution came when it did, because as we said, we're getting ready to complete lap 160. Four.
Yep.
But once the cleanup is done and we get back to racing around lap 170 or so, boy, you're looking at the end of that fuel stint by the time you get to the last 10 laps of this race. Are we going to find out who has and hasn't taken care of their tires?
Yeah, absolutely. And pits are open right now, guys. You're going to see people take advantage of it. When they come around right now, Mark, they're going to be completing lap 164. So just one lap shy. But you got to remember, like I talked about, is they have some yellow, so they have to make it on fuel. But, man, they're going to take these tires right to the very max.
Yes, it.
As far as wear. And it's going to be, you know, survival at the very end of this run. And the best handling car is going to be the one to take advantage. And how about this? How about Scott Dixon? Has a huge lead coming in on the pit lane. Even I mean, they're like scared to get close to him right now for whatever reason, and they're just kind of saying, Scott's so tough, I'm going to let him get a big advantage down pit lane. Now a lot of guys on pit lane.
Michael Young,
and Scott Dixon, the first to hit his Scott Dixon, first to hit his marks. Colton Herta is at the very end of pit lane. Let's see how Colton's stop goes. Dixon's already down and away. Wow, great stop for Scott McLaughlin. He's away. Then it's Pato O'Rourke, Alex Palou, then the machine of Colton Herta. I think Jack Harvey came out in sixth.
Nick Yeoman, trouble on pit road.
Marcus Ericsson's car is missing the right rear firestone as he left pit lane. There might have been contact with Felix Rosenquist, too, there at the back of the pack, but the Husky Chocolate crew for Chip Ganassi Racing now wheeling that red and white number 8 back to pit lane as he again. Mark, you can't leave pit lane with just three tires.
No, and bad news for Felix, you know, for that car of Marcus Ericsson, we should say. Darrell Biffs with Rosenquist back there coming on and off of pit road. But, boy, that Husky Chocolate car was hooked up, and he was running to the top 10 or 12 most of the evening. So, caution on the course. Pit stops underway. Trouble for Marcus Ericsson now. Lap 165 complete with Scott Dixon leading here at Texas Motor Speedway. 166 laps complete. They just got the car of James Hinchcliffe all backed up, and they're making the trip back to pit road with it. And Nick Yeoman, we mentioned on contact some fluid came out of that car out onto the racetrack. They put the drying compound down and used the broom over it. I guess the good news is that from a cleanup standpoint, there hasn't been a lot of racing up in that groove tonight. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not really in harm's way, I don't think, from what we've seen.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect with this upcoming restart that we'll see that, you know, typical cloud of dust of driving through that oil or speedy drive because, as you point out, that is way up and out of the groove. That's where two cars have found the wall, though. That's been the trouble spot, turn two. Sebastian Bourdais found it in lap 55, and then here on lap 158, it takes James Hinchcliffe out of the race.
I'm thinking, I don't know, what, 3 to 5 laps, it looks like maybe. They'll run under caution while they do that cleanup to the high side there between 1 and 2. So we get back to green flag racing. Best case scenario, lap 170, and we're set to run. Boy, I tell you, that 212 laps, that could get a little dicey once we get up to a lap, you know, 205 or so.
I think what it tells me is this restart's going to be crazy. I mean, you're going to have to get what you can get, and you got a couple hungry young drivers right there. Both guys that run in second and third have never won in the IndyCar Series. Shoot, Scott McLaughlin's never even been here, and he has just done an unbelievable job tonight, Mark, taking care of that race car, and now he's got an opportunity. I don't like his chances to maybe snooker one of the all-time greats in Scott Dixon, but he's got the chance on a restart upcoming. And then Pato Award sits in third. And, Mark, I think we've all been impressed with how racy Pato has looked throughout the course tonight.
I got to feel awfully bad for Marcus Ericsson, Nick. I mean, he had a really good race car, and it's unfortunate that that right rear came off.
Yeah, and we still haven't seen a replay of exactly what happened, but I know, you know, when Ericsson's car was sitting in the middle of pit lane with just three tires, the big loser was Felix Rosenqvist, who got parked right behind that red and white three-wheeled car. Rosenqvist came into pit lane, Mark, running second, exited pit lane in 12th. So it was a potential race-winning opportunity to the wayside, all because of that miscue on pit lane by the Ganassi crew.
Now, getting ready to complete lap 170, I want to go ahead and give you the full field rundown. It's Scott Dixon and Scott McLaughlin. Pato Award, Pillow and Herta, the top five. Harvey, Rossi, Newgarden, Rahal, and Pagano, the top 10. 11th is Takuma Sato. 12th, Rosenqvist. 13th, Kanaan. 14th, Power. 15th, Pitofaldi. 16th, Jones. 17th, Hunter Ray. 18th, Carpenter. 19th, Kellett. A lap down is Erickson with the issue on pit road with the right rear. 21st, VK. He's a lap down. He's had an ill-handling race car all night. Connor Daly, a lap down in 22nd. James Hinchcliffe out of the race, bringing out the caution in turn two. He's 23rd. 24th, Sebastian Bourdais, who crashed out on lap 55. Two cautions for 25 laps so far. Two leaders and three lead changes. The two leaders have been Scott Dixon. He's led twice for 164 laps. Alex Pillow has led twice for 6 laps. McLaughlin's had a great night so far for Penske Racing. The rookie is plus 13. Tony Gannon showing still got plenty of pace. He's taken that 48 car to the top 15. He's currently running 13th. That puts him plus 10 on the night. He had the fastest car in practice today, by the way. Alexander Rossi is plus 9. Pato Award is plus 8. Felix Rosenqvist is plus 6. And I guess the good news for all these teams and drivers and fans, Nick Yeoman, is that I think everybody's good to go the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a flat-out race. 40 laps, 42 as it stands right now, to see who can win this Genesis 300. It's going to be an all-out shootout. Let's hear from James Hinchcliffe. Mark, he is standing by with Jake Query.
Yeah, James Hinchcliffe is out of the Wise Health System Infield Care Center. Good news is, looks like you're okay. I know you're disappointed for Genesis. What exactly did take place?
You know, Felix just got a run on me on the outside, and when he cleared me, he came down, and in the dirty air, I just had no grip. Slid up into that, you know, the black stuff, the traction compound or whatever, and there's no grip up there, so we were along for the ride. We were really losing grip and struggling on the tires. We had tons of vibrations. Yeah, and unfortunately, that second lane is just completely unusable. And once you get up there, you're just you're sort of a passenger. So, got it for the Genesis car, the Genesis 300. Sorry, these guys got to fix that thing, and we got to go do it again tomorrow. But that's the name of the game.
Best of luck tomorrow night. Glad to see you. All right.
Thanks a lot.
That's James Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, I mean, and a couple of drivers have made that observation. Their spotters and the setup guys, the crew chief and the engineers on the pit boxes, Davey. Here we are, 171 laps in, and they say that second groove is, in a word, undrivable.
Yeah, so basically what happens, guys, you at all costs, you stay out of it because you're not going to win. It's going to beat you every time. So when it comes side by side down going into that corner, you have to have position, get down to that bottom, because you'll lose if you get up there. Just like Hinch said, he was just a passenger at that point. You have nothing to do. And it's supposed to be traction compound. I'm not sure if – I think it's untraction compound is more like the – rather use on that. You just usually you have some sort of, but it's just literally like ice.
Now we finally got a look at the replay with the issue for Felix Rosenquist that was caused when the rear wheel came off the car of Marcus Ericsson.
I knew he had to slow up. I didn't realize though, Mark, that he had to go all the way out into the grass.
Right.
So that is why he tumbled from second all the way down to 12th. The good news though, Mark, looks like the cleanup up in turn number 2 that brought out the most recent yellow involving James Hinchcliffe is all cleaned up. Lights are off on the pace car. Field still on the front straightaway, but Mark, we are set to go racing. Looks like we're going to restart with 38 laps to go here at Texas.
Well, I think I was a bit skeptical after Barber saying let's not label him as a superstar yet, but I think it's pretty much official for the first handful of races. Alex Pelot's for real. He's fourth place.
And we'll see what he can do on this restart, Mark. Down the back straightaway, here's how the top five will restart. It'll be Dixon, McLaughlin, Award, Pelot, and Herta. Further on back, it's Jack Harvey, Alexander Rossi, Joseph Newgarden, Graham Rahal, Simon Pagenaud. Dixon slowly brings the field through turn number 3. Field starts to stack up, and they will accelerate again, Mark. 38 laps to go in the Genesis 300. Scott Dixon brings them out of turn 4.
Off of turn number 4, Scott Dixon gets a pretty good start. McLaughlin bobbles just a little bit. Meanwhile, behind them, Colton Herta and Alexander Rossi among those that tried to drive down into the grass to work their way around at Jack Harvey. Here comes Joseph Newgarden with a hard charge. He works his way around Alexander Rossi. He's worked his way back up into the sixth position.
And he's not done. He almost went below the apron trying to get around Jack Harvey. Through turn 3, though, he's about a car length behind Newgarden with a strong charge out of turn 4. Mark, he'll pop to the outside trying to grab that sixth spot.
And they bang wheels now as they come to that dogleg, and Joseph Newgarden knows he's got to slip around Jack Harvey in a hurry, Nick Yeoman, because when you get to turn 1, that high side disappears.
Harvey's got his hands full as Graham Rahal goes all the way down below the apron, and he'll pass the Englishman. So move Graham Rahal up into the 7th position as Jack Harvey just trying to hang on in the top 10.
Well, Davey Hamilton, maybe there's no second group to the high side, but those guys are finding a group to the apron, I guess.
Yeah, what's happened is that on these new tires, guys, they have some grip coming off this corner. You have a guy lift just a little bit because somebody passes him down that straightaway, beats him to the corner, and they lose their momentum, and that guy behind him really has to take advantage of it. And we see that happen, especially with Newgarden.
How about the ride Joseph Newgarden has given this car, Davey? He was penalized earlier for the contact with Sebastian Bourdais. Clearly, he didn't push the panic button. I think he fell all the way back to 19th, and now he's worked his way back into the top 10.
Yeah, how about that? Great run. That was an outstanding restart. That was some of the most exciting racing of the night, actually, just watching him maneuver through the traffic on that restart. Meanwhile, Scott Dixon comes across that start-finish line, has a nice lead over McLaughlin in second, and then they're stacked up. It's nose to tail from their back. Now, you just cannot make a mistake, guys. If you make that slight mistake, let somebody get by you, you just lose so much momentum. You lose everything. That's what happened to Harvey. All of a sudden, he tumbles. Where did end up, guys? He's back in that 8th spot, and if you remember, he was in 4th there for a while.
7th place running Graham Rahal, looking a little racy. Nick Yeoman wants to go side by side with Joseph Newgarden out of turn number 4.
Two Americans going to go side by side, and what a power move by Graham Rahal in that blue and white car. Goes around the outside, clears Joseph Newgarden into turn number 1. Rahal's got a fast car, Mark. Move that Honda into the 6th spot.
We will complete lap 180, we should say, next time by. That means 32 laps to go. It's got Dixon has opened up a lead of 6/10 over Scott McLaughlin, who's done a pretty good job of holding off Pato Award and Alex Pelot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was a great restart for Scott Dixon, the third one of the night, and all three have just been picture perfect for Scott Dixon. First one was pretty good, too, as he took the lead on lap number 3, but Scott Dixon advantaged 0.6 seconds over the rookie Scott McLaughlin.
Davey Hamilton has been feast or famine thus far for Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan Racing. They've not had good practice sessions, good qualifying sessions. They run good in the race. Either that or they practice qualify well and don't don't run good in the race. Either Sato struggles, Rahal solid, or vice versa. But tonight, both look pretty strong early, and at least through the first three quarters of the race, they stay strong because both Sato and Rahal find themselves in the top 10.
You know, Rahal, he was strong at the, in last weekend in St. Petersburg and had that issue with Rossi, or he would have been a lot farther up in that point standing, guys, and started farther up this field. But right now, I think he's got the fastest car on the racetrack. It's just he checked out from Newgarden, which was a surprise, and then he's caught right up to Herta, but we'll see if we can get by him now.
Davey, we're not suggesting that this is in any way, shape, or form familiar to the scenario in which Phoenix used to kind of set the stage for the Indianapolis 500, but be that as it may, as important as the whole month of May is at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and that's what's next. The IndyCar GMR Grand Prix, and then, of course, qualifying and racing for the 500. I tell you, teams want to do well here at Tech. Well, you want to do well each and every week, but it's really important to feel like that you're all on the same page and everything's going in the right direction, and you want momentum going into the month of May of all months.
Yeah, and a great thing with having this race before the Indianapolis 500 is just that, being on an oval. You know, coming in and out of pits the way you need to. The pit stops are so much different. And high speeds, guys. I mean, when you're running 220-plus miles an hour around these racetracks, and you need to know what your car is going to do in traffic. So this track right here, even though it's a 1.5-mile high bank track, it's going to give them a lot of information, a lot of knowledge going into the most important race of the year, and that's the Indy 500.
You know, Nick Yeoman, we've had the chance to look at a couple of the replays of some of the passes that Graham Rahal made, one of them around the car of Jack Harvey. And quite frankly, Graham had a lot of confidence in that race car because when guys tried to shut the door on him, he didn't hesitate to go to the bottom of the racetrack and use that apron to his advantage.
I think Davey's absolutely right. I think he's one of the fastest cars on the track. Scott Dixon, probably the fastest, but Graham has come on really, really strong here at the end of this race. And you mentioned it. I mean, he had to go all the way below the apron that low to get around Jack Harvey, and then uses the outside line a few laps later to get around Joseph Newgarden. So we'll see what Graham Rahal can do with Colton Herta and Alex Palou, who run fourth and fifth. But still, it's been a nice charge for the American driver from Ohio for Graham to get up to sixth.
A lot of conversation this week with Scott McLaughlin and Davey. He had all kinds of confidence coming into this race, as we mentioned earlier. Probably more confidence for Scott McLaughlin coming into this race than the first two, because of the extensive testing that he did here and the oval experience he had during the test at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It appears as though it's paid huge dividends for the rookie.
Yeah, absolutely has, and he's taken advantage of that. He learned a lot, and now he's being very methodical. His team has great strategy. And when you see an R behind anybody's name, and that means rookie, and you find him in second place, it's pretty impressive no matter what racetrack you're at. But coming here to this facility as fast as it is and having to stay on the bottom of this racetrack, you can't put a wheel wrong, man. He's done a great job. As we see somebody's falling off pace, going out the back straight, we got somebody coming in the pits, guys.
Nick Yeoman?
Yeah, that's Colton Herta. Not sure what happened, but he is off the pace mark. He was running in the fifth position, and Colton Herta has taken that gold and black Gainbridge car below the apron. He is coming to pit lane. Problems for our winner from St. Pete.
And, you know, it's interesting to note that we talked about momentum and how important it is, and what a, all in all, you know, a solid weekend he had at St. Petersburg. And, boy, Nick Yeoman, let's face it, you stand to take a big points in if you don't come out of here with a good weekend.
He's making his way down pit lane. The right side Firestone showing the lettering, so it not sure, doesn't look like he necessarily got to the wall, but he is making that slow crawl. Leaders have already gone by. He's going to go one lap down, and now we see, Mark, oh, we see a fire behind the right rear tire. So there is a fire at the rear of that race car for Colton Herta. He's going to have to shut that thing off and bail out as the safety crew putting that fire out.
Michael Young?
He was coming down pit lane, guys, and just as Nick Yeoman said, that fire was blazing on that right rear of that car. The crew has already put that fire out, and Colton Herta sits here on pit lane as he starts to climb out of that car. But, man, there is a lot of smoke on that right rear. We'll get a word from Colton Herta on what happened here in a moment.
And, Davey, you have a pretty good idea based upon what you've seen from the monitors that from your vantage point.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. It came out of that right rear wheel assembly, and that is where the bearings are, guys. It's just brakes and bearings in there. So when you have a fire, that means a bearing more than likely failed. All the G-forces on these cars through these corners, those things take such a load. You can just imagine and just... The bearing failed or something failed in that right rear to catch on fire.
Boy, and I'll tell you, after the job that he did at St. Petersburg, he had made a big jump points-wise. And as we mentioned, this could potentially be a big hit for Colton Herta as he tumbles all the way to 22nd. And it looks like that he is indeed out of this race, currently being shown three laps down. So 194 laps complete, 18 to go. Scott Dixon has led 189 laps of the Genesis 300. 199 of 212 laps complete. Colton Herta is out of the race. He'll finish 22nd, Michael Young.
Yeah, Colton, any idea that the bearing, what happened? Brakes, what let go?
I don't know. The right rear brake caught on fire or something, and then must have been enough for it to melt or distort something on the right rear that eventually broke. I still don't know what it is, but yeah, obviously it just happened, but it just sucks. We're running so good, and had it not been for the overcut that we tried to decide to do that didn't work, we were going to be right up there in second, right behind Dixon, but we have a fast car. Sucks that we're starting on points tomorrow, because now we're probably going to have a pretty miserable start for tomorrow, but we'll see what we can do.
Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Yeah, tough break for Colton Herta, guys. He was in the catbird seat, and now he's down in the basement.
11 laps to go. Make that 10 laps to go, and it's been the Scott Dixon Show tonight, Davey Hamilton. What an impressive performance for the veteran defending series champion that's led 196 laps.
Wow, isn't that impressive? 196 laps, the only laps, he's six laps that his teammate led that he didn't. So, what talk? Another dominating weekend, guys. I mean, last week, Colton Herta, even the weekend before that, you know, I mean, it showed some domination by a couple guys, first being Pato, and then Palou coming and dominating the second half because of strategy. So, pretty interesting how this is laying out, but we're getting, looks like three races. It looks like we have a really good chance to have three different winners.
And as we mentioned Nick Yeoman early on, and we mentioned it during the practice session a little bit later on today, we talked about the parity, and it looks like the parity that's unfolding, parity with the exception of the consistency of Scott Dixon, because the only guy to finish in the top five for the first two races, looks like that he's going to vault himself into the points lead as we get ready to go racing tomorrow.
Here's the scary thing, Mark. Scott Dixon has won a race in Texas four times. He did it in 2008, 2015, 2018, and 2020. And after all four of those Texas wins, Mark, he went on to win a championship. So a scary proposition for these drivers. But you're right. Scott Dixon has been super consistent, strong at Barber, strong at St. Petersburg. Maybe not good enough to win a race. He's about six laps away from checking another one and getting his fifth Texas win.
Interesting to note that we're ready to set a record that I think no one would like other than Scott Dixon. The fewest lead changes, four. Back in June of 2013, and we've only had three tonight, but those have all been between Dixon and Palou.
Yep, and Scott McLaughlin is throwing everything he has at Scott Dixon. He's about a half a second behind on the track. That translates to about four or five car lengths. But, Mark, we're all just, the way this race has played out, it's going to take a Herculean effort or a mistake from Scott Dixon for Scott McLaughlin to get around. Out of turn two, Dixon already legs it back out to about eight car lengths.
Five laps to go, Davey. If someone would have told Scott McLaughlin that through the first three races of the season he'd be tied in points with his teammate Joseph Newgarden, I think he would have said, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, right. Up seven in the championship, guys, right now, like you said, in that fourth position. And absolutely, I mean, this kid is really, really good. And he's coming from no oval experience whatsoever and being able to come over here and move to a different country, have great teammates, but he's putting it to good use. And how about Pato Award, guys? Finally a finish that he's been looking for. I mean, he's been fast this year, but struggling early in the night, but just had a good pit stop strategy and finds himself in that third position.
Three laps to go. We'll set the top ten for you. Dixon, McLaughlin, Award, Palou, and Rahal, the top five. Newgarden is sixth. Harvey is seventh. Alexander Rossi is eighth. Takuma Sato is ninth. And And Simon Pagenaud was battled back to a 10th place position. We'll give you all the cars on the lead lap, in fact. 11th is Tony Kanaan, 12th is Jones, 13th Rosenquist, 14th Power, 15th Fittipaldi, 16th Hunter Ray, 17th Carpenter, 18th to Dalton Kellett. Two laps to go, Nick Yeoman.
Scott Dixon makes his way down the back straightaway. He's got about a six-car length advantage over Scott McLaughlin. Mark, as they set up for turn four, Scott Dixon about to see the white flag.
Yep, he will see the starter lean out of the flag stand, and he will see the white flag this time by Nick Yeoman, take him into turn number two.
And Scott Dixon sets up into turn number one and two. He keeps about a foot off the apron, down the back straightaway. Mark, he has fired off those six shooters four times in his career. Scott McLaughlin giving chase. Here comes Scott Dixon through turns three and four at Texas.
One more cowboy hat goes in the hat rack for Scott Dixon. Twin checkers out, and he will go to victory lane. He will win the Genesis 300 here at Texas Motor Speedway. An outstanding performance, dominant performance by Scott Dixon. Scott McLaughlin finishes second. Pato Award is third. Alex Pillow is fourth. Graham Rahal completes the top five. Newgarden, Harvey, Rossi, Sato, and Pagenaud, the top ten. And Davey, as we mentioned, with all of these up-and-comers and all of this talk about the next generation of IndyCar drivers, this generation's champion, Scott Dixon, showing he's not slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, that's exactly right, guys. And don't worry, as we talked about, guys like Dixon especially, but Newgarden and Power, these guys, they still have a lot of winning in their blood. Pagenaud, great run for Kanaan that left the spot. You never know what he could pull off yet this year. But you're right, we got a lot of young fire, young bullets in the chamber. But these older guys, they're still teaching some of them how to get it done.
We'll have post-race festivities. Visit with as many of the top five, including your winner, as we can when we come back with post-race. Here at the Genesis 300, you're listening to IndyCar Radio. Let's pause 10 seconds for stage identification. Some of you folks in Texas are without pyrotechnic displays for the 4th of July. You can blame Texas Motor Speedway. They do it big in Texas, no doubt about that, as the post-race celebration continues. And Nick Yeoman, we got a couple of shots down on pit road of a very, very happy Scott McLaughlin, the rookie, finishes second.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest stories of the night. There's no doubt about it. And just his fourth IndyCar start, made one last year. Driving for Team Penske, puts that car in second position on an oval where, he definitely didn't do any of that type of racing in Australia. Let's hear from Scott McLaughlin, Jake Query, a career best second place.
Yeah, Scott McLaughlin, when you came into this series as a rookie, the word was you were an oval specialist, right? What a run.
I don't think so, but certainly the guy in front of me, Scott Dixon, legend of the sport to be running. Was very, very special, and he's a countryman, my home in New Zealand. But really proud of everyone at PPG and Chevy for giving me a great engine. We just couldn't quite get there at the end, but I feel like we're on it. But I've never been this bloody happy second, I'll give you the tip.
How much did the testing pay off? I mean, just getting familiar and getting the reps.
Getting a feel of everything, for sure. It was certainly a big help. And, the team at Team Penske, Jonathan Duguid, my engineer, everyone, they've really built me up really nicely and got me to a point where I'm comfortable on the oval. And, we had a great strategy there, and I'm really proud of everyone at PPG Chevy and making it happen.
It was so much fun tonight. You get to do it tomorrow night. Yeah. We look forward to seeing you.
Bloody oath. Can't wait. Cheers.
Scott McLaughlin finishes second. Mark?
Yep, that's good stuff for sure. And Scott Dixon celebrating in victory lane. And Pato Award, Alex Pillow, Graham Rahal, the top five. Newgarden, Harvey, Rossi, Sato, and Pagenaud, the top ten. And we said, Nick Yeoman, that testing doesn't always translate, but clearly Scott McLaughlin feels like it paid off for him.
Well, and he's, he goes to a team in Team Penske that always has great oval setups, and they're always fast, so maybe a little less surprised based on the fact that team's got such good data. Tell you what, Jake, hard not to be impressed with the young Mexican driver, Pato Award, coming home in third tonight.
Yeah, Pato Award once again, man. You're knocking. That was a heck of a run tonight. Take me through it.
Yeah, man, it wasn't too bad. This Howard McLaren SP number five group helped me, man. I mean, they made my life a lot easier by, making that somewhat risky strategy call, but it paid off in the end.
How many different cars are you driving over the course of those 212 laps? Does that make sense? How much did they have to change it for you?
I was changing quite a bit. At the end, we were having some issues with temps, so I didn't quite have much for Scotty, well, for both Scotties. But, man, these guys did a great job. I want to thank Arrow Electronics, Views, Mission Foods, Team Chevy. We had a great power today, but this should really put us on a way better position starting tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. We have a fast race car.
We appreciate it. Pata Award, the best in class among those not from New Zealand. And the winner, who is from there, is with Michael Young.
You're the king of the Texas Motor Speedway. Five career wins here. You just surpassed your tie with Elio Castro Neves. A dominating performance. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was all about track position tonight. But, you know, even when we had to get to the lap traffic, we were one of the few that could kind of pick through them occasionally, especially when they made mistakes. It was definitely, it's tricky here. Like, as soon as you get offline, you know, you're just being more cautious than anything and making sure that you keep the car straight. And, you know, we saw a few culprits out there that, you know, kind of got offline. So just a huge thanks. Obviously, the pit stops were phenomenal tonight from the team. You know, strategy was spot on. So it's a team effort, man. Always a team effort.
It is an amazing thing to think. The last three champions have won here in Texas, gone on to win the championship. You've done it now four times. Not looking too far forward to the end of the season, but you've got another one of these Scott Dixon seasons underway.
Yeah, that would be pretty nice. You know, obviously we'll try and go back-to-back with tomorrow's race as well. Tomorrow's race will probably be a little bit different condition-wise. But yeah, you're right. You know, this has always been a pretty instrumental track, I think, and especially this year being a doubleheader definitely adds to that. You know, you can have two successful nights as long as you keep it clean. So we'll keep our head down. We keep working. None of this is easy, man. The start of the season has been really challenging, really physical, especially around, you know, St. Pete. So we'll enjoy this for a few hours tonight and get ready for tomorrow.
You're the points leader now, and we start looking at your career victories. One away from tying the great Mario Andretti. How does that even sink into you?
Yeah, kind of mind-boggling, honestly. You know, I grew up watching Mario, you know, Michael, AJ, you know, a lot on the monitors, and, you know, when I was a young kid. And, you know, just to be associated with those names when people read off lists, you know, is crazy for me. So, you know, I feel very proud to be a part of that. Very proud for everybody that helped me get to this position. So, yeah, again, it's a lot of hard work with a lot of people involved, and we'll keep it rolling.
Congratulations. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, man.
There's your winner, Scott Dixon. Career victory number 51, his fifth all-time winner here at Texas Motor Speedway.
Let me ask Graham Rahal this question, Michael, and you tell me if this is off base. Graham Rahal, it seemed as though in that final stint that Fleet Koston Care Honda might have been the best race car on the track. Fair statement?
I think it's accurate, Sam. I think the last two stints we were the best car on track. I mean, the second to last stint got stuck behind Alex for a little while, tried to get around him, but the yellow came out. But I think the Fleet Koston Care guys did a great job today. I mean, honestly, you know, the car, the first stint we struggled, which is why we had to pit early. The left front tire just kind of gave out on me. But from there on, man, it was damn good.
What about for tomorrow night? Are there changes? You know, can you learn from tonight that translates to tomorrow, or is this track just way too temperature sensitive and things like that?
It's going to be temperature sensitive. I would anticipate tomorrow's going to be very different. You know, today, even, you know, just those last couple of stints, the way that the car was completely different. But, no, I thought that the guys did a great job. Honda did a great job. The motor was fast, man. To go by Newgarden the way I did, I was super pleased with that. You know, but tomorrow's a different animal. We'll go back and work on the Fleet Koston Care machine a little bit. The boys did a great job in the pits, and hopefully we can have an even better run tomorrow. We start further forward tomorrow, so that's a positive. But
a pair of top tens for the team when you consider Takuma as well, so it obviously worked out well for you guys.
It was good. And I think, you know, we were able to pass, which I think surprised a lot of people, which was fun.
Appreciate it. Best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks, man.
It's Graham Rahal.
Davey, that battle for the Manufacturers Championship currently stands at 269 to 218. The lead continues for Honda. Chevy did have second and third tonight, but it was first, fourth, and fifth for Honda.
Yeah, right now, guys, is Honda's been winning the races. I mean, Chevrolet is right there. They're always on the podium. They have cars up there. But when Honda keeps getting that number one spot, it's going to be hard to beat those guys. And they have a nice little lead right now. But they're keeping it mixed up, guys. I mean, yes, there are five. In the top five, you got three Hondas and two Chevrolets. So Honda's looking good right now, guys.
And, Davey, just like with the drivers, that season-long Manufacturers Championship is very, very important to both of these corporations, but let's face it, the big prize comes up in about a month from now, and that's what they all plan for throughout the year.
Well, you know, as a racing driver and everybody I've always been associated with, when you go into the IndyCar Series, it always was, well, let's go to the IndyCar Series, let's win the Indy 500. And if we can't do that, let's win the championship. Those are the two most important things in that order. So you're exactly right. I mean, the engine manufacturers want the same thing that the drivers do. They want to win that Indy 500, but the big picture is a championship overall. So they're definitely in good shape.
Michael Young, Joseph Newgarden dug himself out of quite a hole tonight. He comes home sixth.
I don't think I've seen a person pass as many cars and still only finish sixth after that penalty. Let's talk about the penalty first. The contact that you had with Bourdais, you were put to the back of the field. Was that fair?
It's a hard call. You know, I mean, look, we're running on a one-lane racetrack, and everyone stops at the apex of 1-2. I got nowhere to go. You know, I can't go to lane two. I'll probably wreck myself. So it's kind of unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Whatever happened in front of me and bottled everything up, you know, I didn't really have anywhere to go. I didn't slow up quick enough, obviously, and touch Bourdais. So certainly not on purpose. You're not supposed to be braking at that part of the racetrack. So it's not something you really expect or you're, looking out for. Just kind of happened, you know, the wrong place, wrong time. I don't know where I go in that moment, you know. I got more speed than those guys, and they stop in the middle of the apex. I can't go up in the lane two. It's just, you go up there, and you're going to wreck. You saw that with Hinch. So that's the tough thing. We'll take the call. I wish there was something different. I wish I could do something different there. Just, you know, it's hard to armchair that thing at the end of the day and say, oh, you should have been more heads up or something. It's just not something you're expecting in the middle of an apex of 1 and 2. So that's what it is. But, you know, we tried to recover there with the XPEL car and Team Chevy, and I think relatively we recovered. You know, okay, it's not what we wanted, but a decent recovery.
Heck of a job tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Joseph Newgarden, a great drive tonight. After that penalty, he come home sixth.
And that means that he comes home just two spots behind Alex Palou, who finished in fourth in the number 10 NTT data machine. And I want to ask you about this, Alex. We know your talent. You're a young driver that's still learning this series. This is a place where you crashed a year ago. From a mental aspect, is that a hurdle to be able to overcome and obviously have a great finish here tonight?
Well, yeah. I think basically the biggest thing is that it's the first time I've been on top five on an oval as a result, so we made it. We're getting there. Just bear in mind that I did only five oval races before coming here today, so it's a bit crazy to think about it. So I need a bit more experience. I wish I knew this morning what I know now, speaking to you. So tomorrow's going to be a better day. We had a really good race car. Scott won. It's perfect for the team. We're starting P2 tomorrow. I just need a bit more confidence when running with traffic, when running with lap cars and trying to overtake them a bit before. Scott was like on fire. He just got there, sat for two laps and overtook them. And I just spent too much time on some lap cars. That's why we lost the second spot.
So when you say that you now want to apply what you learned from this morning, the traffic, is that what you're speaking of? Is there anything specifically you say, you know what, I learned that, now I'm ready to go?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you because maybe there's somebody listening. But yeah, for sure, traffic is one thing.
Hundreds of thousands listening, Alex.
Yeah, I know, but I mean some driver that is going to apply tomorrow. But no, to be honest, hello to hundreds of thousands. To be honest, I learned a lot on traffic. And then coming into the pits, man, like, these guys are crazy. Like, they are going on it. I thought I was on it, but I think I need a bit more. So
who's
tomorrow,
the most crazy? You can tell me. Who's the most crazy?
I mean, I watched Scott, so I watched all the race, Scott, and he was... When I mean crazy, it's like they are going, like, miles quicker than me. And also coming on to traffic, and they get really close to the car in front, which is the target, right? But I just don't have the confidence yet. I think tomorrow I'm going to be one step closer, but it's going to be still my sixth race on an oval ever, and we're going to get there, hopefully on victory lane.
It was an impressive run. Congratulations on the top five.
Thank you so much.
Alex Palou.
Jake, well done. We'll see you tomorrow night. Great job by you and Michael, as always. Davey, let me get this straight. He doesn't feel comfortable yet. He led six laps tonight, and he finished in the fourth position. Look out when he does get comfortable.
Yeah, that's right. He's the only other guy that led any laps here, guys, and he did lead those six. But, you know, I think what he's going to find, I think he, you know, it's very difficult to pass when it's a track like this and you only have one lane, and I think that's what he's referring to, just how do you get – up to those guys in that dirty air and get the timing right, because it's all about timing when it comes to passing. But another thing I think he probably should look at tonight and have his team help him with is just see what his in and out laps are on these pit stops. Just see how fast, you know, he gets into the pit and then how fast he gets back up to speed. I think he's lacking just a little bit there. Not easy to do on these ovals, guys. As you remember, when you come out of pit lane and come in pit lane, you're on the warm-up lane right below the cars going by you 200 plus miles an hour. So if you make a mistake, it's never good. So you have to be careful. But I think there's some time for him to be made up there. But you know what? I mean, hats off to this guy. He's done a great job. I'm happy to see him. He's got a great personality. He's got a great attitude towards what he needs to do to be a champion. So we're going to see a lot of him.
Just saw Chip Ganassi in victory lane with that cowboy hat. He looks like he was off to Billy Bob's here after the race was over, for sure. I mean, it was a good look for Chip. Just saw a nice debrief going on between Elio and Jack Harvey and that crew. So, Davey, you hear the driver speculating as to just how much this track is going to change between tonight and tomorrow night. What do you anticipate?
Well, I think what happens, the race is going to be earlier, guys. I think the air is going to be a little bit thinner. I think we're going to have some sunshine on this track, which could make it more than likely a little bit greasier yet. Now, you never know. Maybe if some sunshine gets on this traction solution they put on that second groove, maybe it makes it come in. Who knows? We'll find out. But hopefully we can somehow figure out to get these cars in the second groove without completely losing control. But hats off to them, just like Scott Dixon was able to do, and that is get his timing right, still be able to pass guys. Graham Rahal and Sato did a great job, as we talked about. So there is passing. It just makes it super hard for these guys to get it done.
Well done, partner. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, look forward to it, guys.
And we will have some final thoughts and a full field rundown for you when we come back to the Genesis 300. Well, Nick Yeoman, I guess I would sum it up this way. Those young guns like O'Ward and Pelot don't show any signs of fading, but the veterans like Rahal, Newgarden, and Dixon don't either.
Yeah, all those guys are close, but you know what, Mark? Over the last two decades of IndyCar racing, there's been a lot of guys close to Scott Dixon. But you know what they say about being close. It doesn't count in IndyCar racing. Once again, Scott Dixon, just a masterful job, Mark, a dominating performance. He knew, hey, we got a one-groove racetrack with this traction compound, which, by the way, IndyCar didn't put that traction compound that kind of messed up the race. But Scott Dixon knew, I got to get out front early. He gets around his teammate Alex Pelot and dominates. It was a fantastic race, Mark, and you're right, bunch of hungry young drivers right there. Probably wishing this guy would just retire.
A bit of a jumble in the points will result in some different starting positions for some guys tomorrow night.
Yeah, so once again, it'll be the Chip Ganassi teammates on the front row, Scott Dixon and Alex Pelot. It'll be Will Power who starts third. Pato O'Ward, who had a fast race car, he's going to start in the fourth position. And how about Jack Harvey, Mark, in that SiriusXM Auto Nation car? After three races, he sits fifth in the championship, had a nice seventh place run tonight, and he'll have a good spot alongside Joseph Newgarden tomorrow. In row three.
Yeah, he had a couple of tense moments, most notably with Alexander Rossi, and I don't know, his body language didn't indicate to me that like perhaps he was the happiest guy in the world after that race was over. And I think Jack, quite frankly, Nick Yeoman, is tired of contending. He wants to start winning.
Yeah, you mentioned it. He had a moment with Alexander Rossi, and then Graham Rahal took him all the way down to the apron. I should say Jack took Graham all the way down to the apron, but hey, that Meyer-Shank Racing team, they keep knocking on the door, and again, he'll have a chance at another top five starting fifth tomorrow.
Well done. We'll have some fun again tomorrow night, huh?
See you then.
Scott Dixon, your winner. McLaughlin was second. O'Ward third. Pelot fourth. Rahal fifth. Newgarden sixth. Jack Harvey seventh. Alexander Rossi eighth. Takuma Sato was ninth. Simon Pagenaud tenth. Tony Ganon, great run and a return to the NTT IndyCar Series. The 48 machine for Ganassi Racing started 23rd. Came home 11th. Ed Jones was 12th, pretty respectable run for Ed. 13th, Rosenquist. 14th for Will Power. 15th, Pietro Fittipaldi in his return. Ryan Hunter Ray, 16th. Ed Carpenter, 17th. Dalton Kellett, 18th. Left out as 19th. Marcus Ericsson, again, he had that right rear wheel let go. Could have had a top 10, perhaps, if not for that. Arenas VK battled an ill-handling race car. He finished 20th to lap down and 21st to lap down Connor Daly. 22nd, out of the race, Colton Herta. 23rd, James Hinchcliffe, out of the race. Out of the race, Sebastian Bourdais in 24th position. There were two leaders, three lead changes. Dixon led 206 laps. He led on two occasions. Pelot led six laps on a couple of occasions.
we mentioned just the two cautions for 29 laps, and your points look like this. Scott Dixon leads his teammate Alex Palou by 18. They've distanced themselves a bit from third place Will Power. Currently fifth in points is Pato Award, or fourth in points is Pato Award. He is 38 back. Jack Harvey is 41 back in fifth place. And teammates Scott McLaughlin, Joseph Newgarden, sixth and seventh respectively. And then Simon Pagenaud was eighth in points. He is 44 back. The Genesis 300 at Texas Motor Speedway was brought to you tonight by Firestone, the official tire of the NTT IndyCar Series for driving IndyCar legends. American Medical Response, official partner of the NTT IndyCar Series and the AMR IndyCar Safety Team. Racing Electronics, in-car race communications provided by Racing Electronics. The Children's Foundation, proud sponsor of Racing for Kids. The Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. Hinchman Racing Uniforms, nothing fits like a Hinchman. By Speedway, the official fuel and convenience store of IndyCar. By Coors Light, the official partner of the IndyCar Series, made to chill. By Safety Clean, official environmental service partner. By BorgWarner, official turbocharger. By Owens Corning, official safer barrier provider with the NTT IndyCar Series. And by NTT, official technology and title partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. Our driver analyst, Davey Hamilton. Helping me in the booth, Nick Yeoman. In the pits, Michael Young and Jake Query. Our chief engineer is Rick Evans. Satellite services by Scott Burgett. Our producer in our Indianapolis studios is Sam Rumsa. The director is Chris Pollack. This is Mark James inviting you to join us right back here tomorrow evening. Race number two at Texas Motor Speedway. Coverage of the XPEL 375 starts at 4:30 Eastern right here on this IndyCar Radio Network station.
Proceeding was an exclusive copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.